about.
Okay, band meeting. Brett.
Yes.
Jermaine.
Also yes.
Murray, present. Of course. Right. Oh, yes, item one.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
Man, you guys were hilarious.
Thanks. Thank you.
How come you don't have your own podcast?
But well, we did years ago, but we couldn't get an audience.
Yeah, we may as well have been on NBC.
Hi-ho.
Well, you know, things have changed. I mean, if you get on a podcast network, podcasts can lead to a book deal, which can lead to a basic cable holding deal, which can lead to Hulu, which leads to Amazon, which leads to a Golden Globe speech where you're thanking the trans community.
I like all those things.
Except Amazon. They gave Woody Allen a show, and they wouldn't take my humidifier back.
And now.
Okay, so, I'm about to really lose it. So I'm going to go to my office and masturbate, and when I come back, I'd love to hear some ideas.
Our feature presentation.
Rest in peace.
Who was that from?
Maron.
Oh.
He canceled it this week, Kevin.
They didn't cancel it.
Did he decide he didn't
want to do it? He decided he didn't want to do it. He got in a big fight with the Hollywood Reporter yesterday.
Oh.
It was fun to watch.
Hmm. What was the fight about?
The Hollywood Reporter, their headline was... Maron canceled after four seasons. He's like, or if you just called us or IFC, you'd know the actual stories.
You decide what it told you.
Yeah. So then he linked it to a Business Insider article, and then it was good to see back and forth because it was that whole thing we talked about, how someone writes an article and then the editor says, ooh, how can I make this clickbaity? Oh, here's a headline. It's just, it's absurd.
That is strange that the person that writes the article does not write the headline.
It's journalism now. Yeah, it's crazy. Journalism, crap.
Yeah. But I think it's not, you're absolutely right, Allie, that these days it's used for clickbait, but I think it was newspaper policy before the internet.
Oh, was it?
Yes, I think this is a thing, is that there are people who write headlines. That's
it's always been a terrible thing, then.
Yeah.
It is a terrible thing.
Because the people that write the headlines don't seem to read the articles.
Right. No, it's usually in direct contrast to the article, which
very
is insane.
Hey, why is Maron ending the show?
From what I read, he just felt that this was the ending to it. He felt he told the story, and this was the best possible ending.
Well, he had in this most recent season four, he had gone past his real life. It was no longer a reflection of his real life, and he kind of created this fantasy scenario that hasn't happened in real life. So maybe he felt like he was out of story.
This was my favorite of all the seasons, season four.
Really?
Yeah.
The one without the comedy.
I felt a lot of comedy in it because there's a lot of comedy in tragedy and heartache and rehab.
There's a lot of tragedy and tragedy, I'll tell you that. A lot of heartache and heartache.
I loved it. It was my favorite.
Well, Allie likes to see other people be sad like her.
So much.
He was actually in Mike and David's Wedding Dates. I was so happy to see him.
Oh, Martin was really?
He was a bartender. The beginning of the movie.
He wasn't great. Naked like Camille?
No, he didn't have that role. He wasn't the masseuse that actually oils up himself. No.
I love Mark.
He's a bartender. We all do, yeah.
I love him so much.
Great man.
Well, welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Tuesday, the 12th of July. Here's a story to get us going before we get into our very busy program out of, let's say, North Carolina.
It's just making that up.
Betsy Bent is her name. She is 67 years old, and she has been living on Beaver Lake in North Carolina.
None of this sounds good.
All right.
Why?
So far, so good.
What's her problem?
Betsy Bent.
Right. 67 years old.
Beaver.
Beaver Lake.
Come on.
And she has been attacked.
Right?
Yes.
Beaver Lake.
Right?
Right.
Yes.
She has been
attacked
while paddleboarding by, you guessed it, a beaver.
Yeah!
Oh, no. I'm not going to be able to get through this story.
Trying to help.
Set it to
it's not a sexy thing. She was attacked by a rodent. A beaver is a rodent, Kevin.
Oh.
It's not a sexy thing.
I thought it was.
I saw a big splash, but I didn't see what the splash was from. It came up under my board and knocked my board over. Then it latched onto my leg and wouldn't let go. I didn't know what it was at that time. I didn't think there was any Jaws in Beaver Lake, she was quoted as saying. Once she fell in the water, the beaver kept attacking.
Oh, come on.
By the way, I don't know a lot about beavers, but this is unusual behavior, right, Allie?
Not if you've seen Zombeaver.
Oh, it is on
yeah.
Beaver.
Good point.
Yeah, thank you.
And that's the record on beavers. That is science?
Yes.
You have to follow it.
Yes.
I was yelling, "Help, I'm being bitten," she said. A very nice fisherman was talking to me and motioning me to come over. Then the beaver turned around and attacked me again and latched onto my hand.
Oh, wow.
Then it came around a third time and latched onto my other hand.
Mm-mm.
So her leg and both hands were attacked by this beaver.
Have we stopped to think maybe she deserved it? Maybe the beaver was right.
She was just paddleboarding
really?
On the lake.
Yeah,
all
but
she, was doing.
She could have been a dick. You don't know.
You think it was like karma? Like
yes.
Beaver karma.
Yeah, beaver karma.
Yeah.
Here's my favorite sentence in the whole article. Now, remember, it was a fisherman who was trying to help her. The angler helped beat the beaver off her.
Come on.
Wow.
Come on.
And brought bent to shore. She was transported to Mission Hospital for care of multiple lacerations. Beavers chew on logs. I've got some pretty good lacerations and staples and stitches. By the way,
this whole story.
I mean,
this whole story is double entendre. This is crazy.
It's not her fault. It was a beaver that attacked her.
Yeah.
I am stunned to see that they sent officers back and were able to catch that beaver after the incident.
How do they know it was that one?
That's my question.
Yeah.
Because they want to
test
the
one with the hand in its mouth.
Well, maybe that's it. They want to test the animal for rabies, which they hadn't done yet as of the time this article, but they had started misspent on rabies protocol shots,
which are supposed to be super painful, right?
Well, they're not as painful as they used to be. When my brother needed rabies shots when we were little, they were the ones where you had to get like a dozen of them in your abdomen.
Right.
They don't do that kind anymore. They're a little easier to take.
Did
now.
Your brother have rabies?
He ended up not having rabies, but they still had to give him the shots.
Thanks, Kevin.
Anyway, a wildlife biologist from North Carolina Wildlife Services, Mike Carraway, said it's pretty rare, but it has happened, and it has happened in North Carolina before. In a situation like this, you just have to treat it as if it is rabies. Ms. Bent Googled beaver attacks. Haven't we all?
Come on!
And found that the animals can be aggressive when defending their dams or their young, and continued development has encroached on their territory. Isn't that, 22 years he's been living there and has never had anything like this happen. What an unbelievable bad surprise that would have been.
I don't like it.
She said, a frequent lake user, she's never fallen off of her paddleboard before this incident. She doesn't want people to get a bad impression of the lake. We've lived here for 22 years. It's a wonderful lake. It's just a bizarre accident.
It's not the lake. It's her.
And I'll be back on the water again soon, she said.
So. You can't let one beaver ruin it for the rest of them.
Right?
Right.
What?
Right. Hmm? Exactly.
Yes.
Right.
So
yeah.
There you go. A beaver attack on Beaver Lake.
By Betsy Bent.
Betsy Bent.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Survey says!
We've got your passes for Comic-Con today. We're going to play another game to give those away.
Oh, when are we going, by the way? I got to get my travel arrangements.
Dean, we're not going.
Do we fly down there on the Thursday?
No, we don't fly down
there.
Or
earlier? What's happening?
No, we're
you
not,
must be talking about the
going.
Email that went out where it was a lock.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was done.
I heard we were on.
Right. And it was going to happen for sure.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That email was followed up with a, ha ha, just kidding email. And you must have missed that one.
So we're giving away our tickets basically to
yes,
basically.
Okay. Yeah, that's happening. Also on today's show, we have the Bachelorette Report. Very excited about that. Pokemon Go accidents seem to be happening all over the place, and it makes me very
apparently
joyful.
It is. I saw the news last night. It is
what did I say?
Pokemon.
Pokemon Go.
It Pokemon, is a badge sorry. Of honor to post your injury photos from playing Pokemon.
What?
It's a badge of honor.
Yeah, people are putting up pictures of their bruises and their cuts and everything else because they're getting hurt playing this game. Because
love
they're
it.
Not used to being outside, and they're not used to being outside walking around while staring at their phone.
Billy Eichner joins us on the show today, talking about difficult
him.
People. Love him as well. A little fellow by the name of Dan Aykroyd from the original right. Ghostbusters. Coming up at the 6 o'clock hour. I don't know if you've been following the Twitter beef between Sweden and Denmark, but it's real and it's on.
It's on. It's serious.
And yesterday, Bean has been telling us for...
Months.
Years?
Years.
I'm going to... You guys, I'm going to do the coolest thing ever. That's what he told us.
So and then it got canceled.
Right.
But then it was back
on. It was back on.
And apparently he did the coolest thing ever yesterday.
Right. And it's
a miracle that I'm still here.
It's going to be such a burn to all of us because we're so going to wish that it was us.
Yeah.
Right?
So, no, not right. But I'm just saying that's what you've been saying. Because I've worked with you. The more great you say something is, the less great it is.
This is the exception.
All right. We'll find out in about, I don't know, half hour, just after 6. Yes. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
By the way, you know, yesterday was the free Slurpee day at 7-Eleven. You know what today is? Ralph, you're usually down with the free food. You usually keep up with the free food offers in the neighborhood. You know what today is?
No.
No.
Dress like a cow and get free Chick-fil-A. It's Cow Appreciation Day at Chick-fil-A today.
Get his weak stuff out of here.
I'm not going to dress like a cow.
I'm just telling you, that's what they're offering. Cow Appreciation Day is the one day where it's okay to dress utterly crazy and get rewarded with it, said Chick-fil-A's Senior Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer. So that's what's going on at the Chick-fil-A today. If you want to get a free chicken sandwich, you can. This is useful information I am bringing to the party, you guys.
Certainly is not.
Free food.
5:55, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph Garman. Ralph, wake up.
I didn't make it up.
Wake up. Oh, you're awake?
I didn't make it up.
He said, wake up.
Congratulations to David Copperfield.
Hey, Bean, there's a lot of stuff in the world that might be true and boring.
Right, but for our listeners, free food.
Nobody is going to dress up like a cow.
I don't know why they're doing it.
I'd like to know why he's congratulating David Copperfield.
I would, too.
Thank you, Allie. It's
your instinct.
Thanks for moving the train
forward. You're welcome.
Instead of blowing the bridge up. He's got a new home. He's got a new home, and I'm happy for him. Here's the thing. It's a little special. It is 31,000 square feet. It has an infinity pool, has its 8 bedrooms, your wine cellar. It's got its own nightclub.
What?
It's got a golf simulation room. You can go in and you digitally simulate a game of golf against a giant screen. It's got, you know, a couple guest homes, movie theater.
Wow.
The reason people are talking about it, however,
town.
Is that it is the most expensive home in the history of Las Vegas.
Huh.
With all that being said, what's your estimate? What's the price tag on this home?
That's got to be
$50 million.
I think there have been homes, $100 million homes sold already.
Oh.
So I would say $120 million.
I would say less. It's still
it's
Las Vegas. Yeah.
Still Vegas.
It is Las Vegas. Yeah,
you're smart.
True.
You're smart, Allie.
Again.
Hold on, you guys. Twice. 557. Write that down.
In this particular case, you're smart.
Okay. $17 million.
Boom! On the nose. $17.5 million.
She read the story.
I don't read about David Copperfield.
Okay.
Right. That's crazy.
That's a good point. You can get all of that.
Wow.
For $17.5 million. I'm moving to Vegas.
Because it's 175 degrees there.
You know what I'll be doing when it's 175 degrees? I'll be playing golf in my simulation room,
right?
Dancing in my nightclub. Isn't that
hot?
He's hot.
Isn't that shockingly cheap, you guys?
Shockingly cheap.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Wow. When you think about the Rhode Island house that Taylor bought was also $17 million, and we never heard about it having anything even close to this. That's on the beach, granted, but still.
Wow. Nightclub, infinity pool, 8 bedrooms, 2 guest homes. Come on. $17 million is cheap.
Yeah.
I'm gonna buy 2 of those.
Right?
I can't afford one, might as well get
sure.
2. By the way, David Copperfield is you know what he's worth? His net worth. Let's play more number games.
Didn't the guy own an island?
Yeah, Rape Island. Yeah.
Yeah.
He is worth $125 million.
I'm not even going to talk to you anymore. If you're not going to be serious and play the game,
was.
I'm not talking to you.
He was serious. I'm gonna say $300 million.
$800 million.
Oh, my God!
For doing this. I'm just pointing at things that aren't there anymore.
Eight.
I'm hot.
He's hot. He really is hot.
$800 million.
No way.
I just said it. I meant it. I'm here to represent it.
That's crazy.
This is good news. If you like TV, Fox Network has announced they'll be the first live TV network to live stream its primetime programming.
All right.
So you don't have to go to Fox Online or whatever and watch old episodes. If you're out and about and you want to watch live Fox programming, you just pull it up. I can't think of anything that's on Fox right now.
Notice.
Just pull it up on your laptop or your phone and you can watch it.
Simpsons.
There you go. You want to watch The Simpsons on a Sunday night? Boom. You watch it wherever you are. Now, keep in mind, won't be free. You have to pay a pay TV subscription service to go to the Fox Now app or use Fox.com's streaming service. But if that's how you like to ingest your television, it's worthwhile, I'm sure. Saves having to wait for reruns, right?
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, I guess they realize more and more people are cutting the cord, as they say.
Yep.
I watched the Channel 2 4:30 a.m. news this morning, live streamed from their site on my computer.
That's another great story.
Well, no, I'm just saying it's just another example of the trend that Ralph is talking about, which is increasingly they're making these shows available to stream rather than watch them on a television.
Yeah, most news is streamed. It's a big, big part of it. So people can watch it.
There's Allie.
What's happening?
Allie with information.
Being helpful.
And congratulations to Javier Bardem. Hey, friendo. He is, looks like he's going to be tapped.
Yeah.
To be the new Dr. Frankenstein in Universal's new Frankenstein movie. You know, Universal is rebooting all of their classic monsters into what they're calling a universe, a la Marvel movies, where they're going to have crossovers and movies featuring multiple
interesting
monsters versus also solo films for each of those people. So looks like they're going to reboot the Frankenstein franchise with Javier Bardem's Dr. Frankenstein. They've already got Tom Cruise on board for the remake of The Mummy and Russell Crowe as Dr. Jekyll, a.k.a. Mr. Hyde. So,
all right.
I don't know how it's going to go, but we'll see.
I feel like there was a Frankenstein movie fairly recently that did not do well.
Do
you
feel
like that?
Yeah,
Victor Frankenstein, I think it was called, maybe?
I think so, too.
Does that sound right?
With a young Brit playing the lead, and I can't think now.
James McAvoy.
Yeah, McAvoy.
Yeah.
And
that other guy,
whoever else was in it, right.
Who played Igor? Wasn't it...
Well, how about Daniel Radcliffe?
Daniel Radcliffe. This says here. Potter, yeah. So there you go.
It was not well received.
Well, no one cares about Frankenstein. But good luck, Universal. Today's celebrity birthday is Topher Grace is 38 years old today, as is actress Michelle Rodriguez. Brock Lesnar, UFC, and of course the wrestling world, 39 years old today. Steve Howie, our buddy Steve Howie. Not only is he great, but he's married to one of the truly great ladies in the world. He is 39 years old today. And Cheryl Ladd, one of the OG Charlie's Angels, turned 65 years old today. Still looks great. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got tickets for the OC Fair you can win today. Passes for San Diego's Comic-Con. We got tickets to the premiere of Lights Out. Awesome new horror movie. And don't forget, you can win a new car, a 2016 Honda Civic, and get the band 21 Pilots to play your house, K-Rock's Home Invasion. Get all the details at K-Rock.com. All you have to do is pick up the summer sticker at the SoCal Hot Topic location near you and fill out the back at K-Rock.com. Pretty good deal.
How long has Bean been telling us that he's about to do the greatest thing ever? The coolest thing ever.
Months. I feel like it started before Christmas, possibly.
I feel like he's been talking about it for like 3 years.
I don't.
It just feels that way.
I don't talk about it much. It's just that there was something that came up that I had the opportunity to do that was on the calendar, and then through a series of circumstances had to be canceled and then rescheduled. That's all. So I kind of talked about it when I was excited that it was going to happen, then it fell through, and then I didn't say anything again until this week because it was happening this week, and it finally happened yesterday.
Bean does the coolest thing ever.
Bean does the coolest thing ever.
Now, why so much derision in your voice for me doing a cool thing?
Because your definition of cool and my definition of cool are at exact opposite ends of the spectrum.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's the fact that you kept saying you're going to do it, it's going to be amazing, but you wouldn't tell us what it is.
Yeah, and that's a little annoying.
Yeah.
I didn't want to jinx it. I didn't want it to fall through, and then I'm a big liar.
Because if you told us that's a jinx, and then it wouldn't happen because of that?
No. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that me talking about it would make it fall
through. The gods of the coolest things ever would yank it from you?
But if it fell through, then I would feel like a big loser because I would have been all excited and talked about it, and then it didn't happen. So I thought
Bean does the coolest thing ever.
just more comfortable with waiting until after the fact when I can say, now it's done and it's happened. So.
And?
And it happened and it was awesome.
Okay. Go on.
Okay. And it was...
Oh, do I have to talk about it now? Now that the setup is that I'm going to be mocked roundly?
I probably won't mock you.
Kevin, remember...
I can't make that promise.
Remember when you went to Spain and hung out with soccer players?
Yeah.
Now, in your mind, that was the coolest thing ever.
Yes, but here's the difference.
You couldn't believe you got to do that, yet I'm sure there were a lot of people in your circle of friends and acquaintances who were like, you know, I really wouldn't walk across the street to do that.
Oh, right. My God. Was there a mailman conference?
Right. But exactly, Bean. But the difference between you and I is I kept that information to myself because I know people at work didn't care. So I didn't tease them and tease them and tease them with I'm going to do the coolest thing ever because it wouldn't be cool to the people that are listening to me.
There wasn't a mailman conference, Allie.
Okay.
That's 7-Eleven conference?
That's a great guess.
Because it was 7-Eleven.
Yeah, that was my initial thought.
When it happened. No, it wasn't that. Any other guesses?
Cleaning off the gum wall?
That is exciting.
That doesn't sound like fun.
I don't know. All I know is the more... Here's how it works with Bean. The more he teases something, the worse it is. Just in general. Just in general.
Okay, he loves radio.
Yes.
So maybe somebody like from the BBC was in town and he got to like...
Good one.
Ride their board.
What?
Huh? I don't know.
I think it's run the board?
Run.
Yeah, you don't ride it so much.
Not the way he
Although
does
Bean
it.
Although Bean may have.
Panel van meetup?
Oh, shit, that's good.
All right, Allie, I just...
Wait. I'm gonna work off Allie's and say you worked at another... Oh, but you can't work at another radio station.
I'm doing an afternoon show on another radio station on Friday, by the way. Completely unrelated to the thing I did yesterday.
Really? So that's not the coolest thing ever? Okay.
Allie, take a look at my Twitter. I just posted a video and a reveal of what I got to do yesterday. Please announce it to the crowd, if you would.
Now, this was sold as we're all going to be so jealous. Chip is flipping you off.
Again, Allie, I did the coolest thing ever yesterday. What was it?
Is there a way to find out what it was?
You could use your words, and you could say the thing.
Is there any way?
Bean gives a taper an ultrasound.
What?
Yay! What? Thanks to my friends at Seattle's Woodland Park Zoo yesterday, I had the opportunity to accompany their veterinary team to give a tapir an ultrasound. Now, you know, Kevin, we've talked about in the past, I love tapirs. They're my favorite animals in the world. I love tapirs. And they've been trying to breed Ulan and Bintang there at the zoo. And yesterday was time for another ultrasound for Ulan.
Bean does the lamest thing.
Come on.
Ever.
So, as you'll see in the video, Allie, you
that
see
that thing's
me...
huge.
Well, it's 800 pounds almost, yeah. Oh. So, you'll see me actually with the little ultrasound machine and putting the gel on and reaching in and putting it, going all around and looking for her uterus and trying to determine whether there's a baby tape here in there.
And?
I'm sorry to say she is not pregnant.
Oh.
Bintang, you are not the father. But come on with the come on. In your wildest dreams you ever imagine, you're going to be able to give a tape here an ultrasound.
What? Bean does the dumbest thing ever.
We're not hearing much from Kevin because I suspect he is seething with jealousy.
He's not pleased.
Here's the thing. Never be able to do such a cool thing.
Here's the thing about Bean. Is he's got a blind spot when it comes to the people who he's talking to. So he has no clue that our excitement level is the opposite of his.
Your excitement level should be off the freaking charts. It's a tapir getting an ultrasound.
Right. But let me just reiterate. You love tapirs.
I love tapirs.
Right. Have you ever heard me say I love tapirs?
I don't think you've been exposed to tapirs as much as I have.
Have you ever heard me say that I love ultrasounds?
Well, no. But
Bean does the douchiest thing ever.
That's hurtful. The combination of giving an ultrasound to a tapir is a magical 1-2 punch. Come on.
I'm sorry. Would be like, honestly.
I'd like to hear that sentence again if you don't mind.
Okay.
You heard what I said.
I want to hear it again, though.
you're with me that giving an ultrasound to a taper is a pretty cool way to spend a Monday afternoon.
It absolutely is. But in my terms, it would be like me giving Cillian Murphy a bath. Like, that's right. How big it is to be. So it makes sense.
So be happy for it.
Absolutely.
Me.
Yeah. I think it's great.
But here's the cool thing, right? Bean, it would be so much happier for easier for us to be happy for you if you didn't tease it for the last 17 years.
But
because now we're
first
angry
of all, it's been a couple
at
of
the
months.
Last 17 years it's teasing because it's not worth it. Had you come in and said, hey, guys, I forgot to tell you I was going to do this and I did it, we would go, okay, well, Bean's weird, but I'm glad he's happy.
I think it exceeded any possible expectations you could have had about how cool it was.
I wouldn't have had any expectations of coolness.
So you're pleasantly surprised by how awesome it was.
Bean, you're a dick. You're a dick. Dick, dick.
This is really turning. I'm just trying to help out a tape here. That's all that's happening here. There's no need for name calling. We're going to talk to Dan Aykroyd, who not only was one of the original stars of Ghostbusters, I think, if I remember correctly, from when Ivan Reitman, the director, was in here recently, it was Dan Aykroyd's idea. He's the one who came up with the Ghostbusters.
Yeah, yep. I think he wrote the first draft.
Right? And wrote it, yeah. So I'll talk to him all about the reboot coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, I love Scandinavia, as you know. I've been to all five Scandinavian countries.
Sure. Has everyone.
Parts of the world. And it hurts my heart to see what's in the news lately because two of the kids are fighting. And we're going to have to turn this car around and just go home because they cannot stop swiping at each other. And I'm talking, of course, about Denmark and Sweden, who are really going for each other
Look,
on Twitter right now.
I love Twitter because of the Twitter beef.
Mm-hmm.
Usually you don't see a Twitter beef between countries.
Yes. Yeah, I've never seen this.
That's so weird.
Yeah, this is not just a Swedish guy who's having a fight with a Danish guy.
Right.
This is the official Twitter accounts for each nation's government. And it kind of started off so innocently. I don't know what the original reason was that either country was tweeting about wall-to-wall carpet, but essentially at the beginning of the Twitter feud, they agreed with each other, neither country is into wall-to-wall carpet. But then it looks like Sweden decided that they would get bitchy about it, and they said, one thing we don't have in common is that our lakes are the size of your country. So, first shot fired, right?
Burn.
Right, but then at that point, doesn't anyone that's paying attention in the government say, hey, that's childish, and we're a country.
Right.
Do that on your own Twitter, but this is the country talking now.
Right, so Denmark fires back and starts making fun of Sweden for having too many laws, and then somebody makes fun. Then apparently at one time a moose swam from Sweden to Denmark.
It became about moose.
And then it died. Yeah, they became about moose, right. So Denmark tweets to Sweden, hey, we're happy to shelter your fleeing mooses, and then Sweden tweets back, we give you one moose and you kill it, how could you ever handle our 400,000 moose? And then it just goes on and on and on from there. Like, what's happening? Then they start making fun of who has more mountains, and then Denmark's tweet to Sweden, hey, while you're sitting on your little hilltop, we'll go to one of our many beaches. And then Sweden writes back, hey, Denmark, keep your beaches. We've got 200,000 islands. So, I don't know. We've got to figure out a way to stop this because this
Why?
Is
this
just,
is the greatest thing ever.
It's just, I feel like it's getting out of control. So, we asked producer Dave who we could speak with, and who do we have on the line here?
We have the Swedish communications officer, Bjorn Jensen.
Hi, Mr. Jensen. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, hi, Bjorn.
Hi, lady.
So what's happening with you in Denmark? Why can't
Denmark
you guys be peaceful neighbors?
Denmark is stepping over the line now, and they have to be dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
They've gone too far.
Right.
Talking about, things that they should keep your name out of my mouth, Denmark.
Right? Put some respect on Sweden.
I'm going to pop a cap in their ass, yo.
Wow, this is a serious feud here.
Now, is nobody in your country paying attention to this? Because I would think they would try to stop you, Bjorn, from actually engaging in a Twitter beef with another country.
Why stop me?
Well, I mean, because it's embarrassing.
It's not embarrassing. We're defending ourselves from the little bitches in Denmark. So they need to be slapped down like a little bitch hoes they are. And so we will do that right quick pretty here now.
Now, what is the main reason? Obviously, you're a Swedish, so you love your country, but
yeah,
why are you...
Because it is the best country of all the Scandinavian countries. Sweden is best.
Mm-hmm. Why are you so down on Denmark, though? Why, again, why can't your country be great, but their country also be good?
Because Denmark, first of all, did I mention their beaches?
Yes. Yep. Yes.
Their women are ugly, incredible ugly.
Really?
Oh, ugly. So ugly. Huh. And what have they really done for the world anyways, except for the Legos, which
right.
are a bitch toy, and the pastry that you eat, mostly cheese or prune. So come
right.
on, right?
The Danish, right, yeah.
So come on, right?
I don't think Kevin got that one, but I'm glad Dean said what it was.
It's a Danish, the right?
Danish,
we're talking about a
yeah,
pastry.
Yeah, because
right.
Denmark is the people are called Danish.
Right, right. So my fear is yeah. that your countries have actually fought in the past. You've gone to war.
Yeah, back in Viking times, we were with axes and swords go against each other
right.
and murder each
yeah.
other. And I think it's time for us to go back to those times.
Well, that's what I'm saying is no. I think you need to figure out a way to
first
cut
First of all, you don't get to say no. It's my country.
Well, I know, but
I
it's
don't
just...
go tell you what to do.
How about if we just suggest that that would be a bad way to go?
No, I'm telling you.
Okay.
I'm saying it now on this show, not now, declaring heretofore now.
Mm-hmm.
And declaring it, Denmark, in the spirit of this Twitter battle, we are now officially challenging you to a pillow fight.
Oh, what?
That's unexpected.
We'll be using IKEA pillows, so good luck with them. Okay. They're deadly. And the so pillow fight is on, bitches.
Okay,
see,
well,
see you in the schoolyard at 3.
I think that's a very responsible, mature way to handle it, sir.
Very exciting. We're supposed to talk to Mr. Dan Aykroyd in just a couple of minutes. Dave is going to keep us posted when we have him on the line.
So you're suggesting, Kevin, that not everybody knows what a tapir is?
Well, it occurred to me after I was mocking you roundly for your giving a tapir an ultrasound that I don't really know what a tapir is.
You've
I
seen
bet
tapirs.
A lot of people don't.
You've seen tapirs.
Have I seen them?
Yeah, because they have them in the zoo. They're big, black. Well, there's a whole bunch of different kinds of tapirs, but the Malayan tapir is what I was who I
sure.
was hanging out with yesterday.
Those are the best.
They look
yeah.
like what? How would you describe what they look like, Allie? They look like giant,
like a giant pig with a penis nose.
Yes.
Oh,
giant,
that's a tapir.
Pig with a big
yeah.
big nose, and they're black and white. And yeah, so I gave
they're
I gave
super an, ugly.
They're well, adorable. They're so cute.
Are they ugly adorable though?
I just think because there
is, I have that category where you look at a dog and you go, okay, that dog is ugly,
yeah.
but I love it because
yeah.
it's so ugly cute.
I feel that way about babies.
Okay. so yeah, so so yes, for
well,
folks
they're
who are
huge,
they're immense.
Yeah, they're like 700-800 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's like a you know a rhino or a hippo or a pig or something. It's a big animal like that. Yeah,
because I was asking Bean how they have sex because he was given an ultrasound
yeah,
to see if he was pregnant.
I felt was a weird question.
Well, I did too.
I pictured a tapir being some type of large worm.
No,
I did.
Did you really?
I did. I thought it you know slithered on the ground. I don't know. I, like a snake.
No.
Like a big, fat, slow snake.
No, it's like
couldn't
a big pig.
Couldn't have been more wrong.
Is what it
nope.
is.
Could not have been more off.
It's just your traditional mounting is all.
Okay. Oh, okay, good.
But let me tell you.
Why are they your favorite animal? Because that's a strange choice.
They're just.
Because dogs are my favorite animal, for example.
I like dogs.
Right, I know you do, but.
I like dogs
How does tapir raise above dog?
I don't know. I just, I love, there's something about a tapir that just is a fascinating animal to look at, fascinating animal to watch. They're just funny, and they're fun, and they just.
How are they funny?
They just.
How are they fun?
How are they fun?
They're just silly. They're just silly looking, silly
they
acting
like
animals.
Play pranks on each other?
No, they're just, I don't know, they're just fun. They're just fun, and it was just fun to hang out with them, that's all.
How are they more fun than dogs, or you like pigs?
Yeah.
You like cows?
I don't think I would have a tapir living in my house. Not that I wouldn't enjoy that, but A, they're too big, and B, they can literally rip your arm off. So you do have to
okay,
be careful
that
with
seems
that.
Bad.
So anyway. Oh, do we have
All
Mr. Right. Aykroyd?
We do, yes.
We're going to have to
put a hold on that conversation?
A cork in tapir talk?
Bummer.
His Twitter bio says it all. Comedian, actor, screenwriter, musician, ufologist, and purveyor of fine spirits. I think we have a lot in common. Dan Aykroyd, the legend himself, on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Mr. Aykroyd, what a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for coming on. How are you?
Good morning on this overcast Los Angeles day. I'm out by the beach, and it looks like the July gloom has moved in here, but we like a little variation in the temperature.
And what are the temperatures going to do throughout the day, Dan?
We're going to be looking at probably highs on the coast of about 69,
okay.
Of course, inland. We've got the it'll be up to Indian Valley there. It'll be 111.
All right. That's good information. Hey, thanks for checking in. Great to talk to you. So, Dan, there have to have been many years that went by where you thought, well, Ghostbusters was great, but now it's in the rearview mirror. Now I'm done with that. Are you surprised that it has finally got to this point where we can say the movie's coming out on Friday?
Well, look, anything that happens in the movie business surprises me. And the miracle is that that you get the movie made. And we worked 6 years on an idea to put an old cast together with a new cast, like the handing of the torch, and it just didn't work. We just couldn't get the script right. And then Paul Feig and Melissa McCarthy walked in the door at Sony and said, let's do it as an all-female tribute to the first movie. And that's what this is. And anybody who loved the first and second movies is going to love this, because it's as if the first two movies didn't exist in sort of a parallel dimension, but they hearken to them all the way through their callback points to the first two movies. And it's just, it really, really works. The third act, the manifestation is awe-striking. I couldn't believe it. I can't wait to go back and see it again.
I'd like to go back and ask you about the first two, especially the first one. When you co-wrote it, right, with Harold. And while you were making it, I know that you're very funny people and everything's going on, but that movie was crazy out there. Were you afraid it was too weird to get a mainstream audience?
Well, I can tell you that at the time, Columbia Pictures was owned by the Coca-Cola Corporation, and Roberto Goizueta, this tremendous deceased now, Cuban-American executive who rose from nothing to become head of Coca-Cola, he saw the movie on the first night of the industrial screening, and he said, what have we done here? He hated it.
He hated it!
The movie came out, and then, you know, Coca-Cola had a blip uprise in its stock from how much money the movie made, so he must have liked to see the bottom line. With Bill Murray and Ivan Reitman there and Harold Ramis, those are comedy chops you kind of rely on, and those are skills that you take to the bank. Knowing that those three guys were involved, we were pretty confident that it would work.
And it seems like Paul Feig was the right man for the job this time around. He seems not only to be a talented enough, director, but he also has the temperament to have shepherded this thing through the last couple of years, some of which he's had the public against him before they saw a frame of the film.
Well, not the public. You have a minority of Cro-Magnon males who live in basements and lazy boys who don't wash their Ghostbuster suits when they come to see me. My true fans who will take the time to do so and wear the suits. And so you have a minority there of people who don't realize that we have three women on the Supreme Court of the United States. And if you look at women in history, don't they know Queen Beatrix, Queen Elizabeth, Joan of Arc? I mean, there's so many. We have women flying F-16s now, okay? So they can't put on a proton pack. I mean, this is just primitive Neanderthal thinking. And it just shows you, that there's a current in this, in the underbelly of this country that is divisive and always will exploit the negative.
I got to tell you, you picked all of the right people, or Paul did. I don't know who picked, but Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Kate McKinnon, and Leslie Jones. I'm in just based on those names.
Yeah, no, I'm in, exactly. Now, and married to this franchise, it just really, really worked. Kate McKinnon's physical activity steals the show. Her character's like the techie. And then Melissa McCarthy, she's such a good actress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've got to play fear. They've got to play the emotion, of surprise, and they got to play the emotion of frustration. They got to play so many things in this movie. They got to sell it for reality, too. Excuse me, the scientific dialogue, everything. They just delivered it, pulled it off beautifully.
Dan, do you see any rain at all in the forecast for the next week or so? Or do you think we're going to stay kind of in this June, July gloom?
I'm concerned about my farm up in Canada, in eastern Ontario. No rain. And the lakes are getting warmer and warmer. We're burning the planet up, guys and gals. This is what's going on here. And,
it's getting hot. I have to ask you this, Mr. Aykroyd. There are some people who think
Dan is fine, or Danny. Only the police call me Mr. Aykroyd.
There are some people who think that there are comedy projects that are so sacred they should never be screwed with. And obviously you're proving them wrong with this new Ghostbuster. Do you ever think about Blues Brothers, Stripes, you know, some of the other Caddyshack, some of those other classic.
Right, an army comedy right now would be really well timed.
Get on that, would you?
Right. I'm going to go to Ivan about that. I'm going to call him this afternoon about that. Well, yeah, you know, I suppose, well, how about Blues Brothers? I would go now. I would go Soul Sisters.
Oh, Soul Sisters. There you go. Wow.
All right.
Dan just got real sexy
right
there.
Yeah,
he did.
Dug it.
Ooh, sisters.
Yeah. Think about
it. And it's based in a radio station. It's based at K-Blue Radio in Mississippi. That's where the movie starts.
Boom. Look at that. It writes itself. Like it. It writes itself.
Industrial radio.
All right. Well, we know you've got, as they say in the business, a hard out. So we do have to say goodbye. But we're so sad because you're such a fascinating guy that we've been admiring for so many years. If there's any possibility we could ever get you back on to spend some more time, we'd love to. But congratulations on Ghostbusters Return opening in theaters everywhere this Friday, Dan. A lot of fun to talk to you, sir. Thanks for jumping on.
Thanks so much. When we open a new House of Blues here in L.A., we'll call you.
There you
go.
It's a deal. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
And it is 6:53. Are we down a man? Did we used to have a guy?
We used to have a guy that did the showbiz. Yeah, he'd come in.
I was expecting that.
Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking then now is the time.
How great is Dan Aykroyd?
He's tremendous. I mean, there's a guy who's been in show business for 40-something years, and he still sounds, you know, energized and excited and happy, and he knows he's going to really get paid this weekend as a producer on Ghostbusters. It is worth his while to be out there talking it up, but, man, I hope it's good.
Same. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey there.
What's going on, man?
Speaking of movies, how about tickets to the premiere of Lights Out, new horror film which looks just terrifying. You've seen the trailers or commercials. It stars Maria Bello, Teresa Palmer, also in this film. If you'd like to see it, premiere's happening at the TLC Chinese Theater on July 19th. We've got tickets to give away. Call us right now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First five callers through will win a pair of passes to the premiere of Lights Out. And if you don't win, you can still see it in theaters everywhere on July 22nd. But, boy, it sure looks scary. Nothing worse than the dark. Bad things happen in the dark.
So cool. Can't wait. Can't wait.
It's terrifying.
Yep.
That commercial.
She doesn't love the light. Ah, little kids are scarier than ghosts stuff. Joe Perry continues to be in critical but stable condition ever since he collapsed on stage in Brooklyn's Coney Island. On Sunday night, Steven Tyler, his old bandmate from Aerosmith, sent out a tweet yesterday saying, "Love you, Joe Perry. Feel the millions of prayers coming your way. We all love you. Sending white light and all that. I got your way, Steven Tyler." So the Hollywood Vampires, the band that Joe was playing with when he collapsed, have announced they will continue their tour without Joe. But they did cancel an appearance last night on Stephen Colbert because of his illness. So still hoping he comes back. Cardiac arrest just out of nowhere. So everybody's
That's scary.
Hoping the best for Joe Perry, especially Allie, who swam with him once.
It's
true.
Down in Marshfield.
If you missed that story.
It was riveting.
You're lucky. Yourself
lucky. Yeah, I suggest listening to the podcast. It's that good.
Forbes magazine does what they do, make lists, and they've released their list of highest earning celebrities of 2016.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
You might be surprised by some of the top 10.
Flavor Flav!
I would be surprised if he was on the top 10, but some of the surprising names that are actually on the top 10. First of all, you'd be surprised how low some people you think just are stinking rich are on the list of top 100. For example, I'll give you some who are well out of the top 10.
Jesus
didn't make it this year. He's not really into the cash so much.
True.
Von Miller! No. Johnny Asshole. Don't believe I see his name.
Hugo Weaving.
No.
Charlie Manson.
No.
Peter Murgatroyd?
No.
Turd Ferguson?
No.
The Riddler?
No.
Sarah Abramson?
No.
Dr. Drew Pitsky?
No.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
No.
Tokyo Tony?
No.
Are you out?
I'm out.
All right.
I'm sure we can go all day, but who is on the list?
No, go ahead. No, what do you got?
Your list. We have
your
list.
Ralph, it's your time.
Come on.
Come on.
It's your
time.
Oh, now it's my time.
Don't take your ball and go home. Come on.
Now it's my time.
We're just having fun. We're just playing.
Katy Perry, 63rd on the list.
Isn't that
shocking?
Yes.
$41 million only earned you 63 on the list.
Wow.
Kim Kardashian's 42nd on the list. Britney Spears is 99 out of 100.
Wow.
With $30.5 million.
But here are your top 10. Rush Limbaugh, 10th on the list.
Still?
What?
$79 million.
That is astonishing.
Adele, number 9.
Adele.
Good for her.
80.5. Lionel Messi. Well, that won't be for long.
Right?
Once they take their cut, right?
Please.
81.5 million. Please what?
Best soccer player in the world.
He has problems paying his taxes.
He has tax problems, though. That's what we're talking about. Finances.
Small?
Compared,
no.
How much does he make a year? How much did he make last year?
$81.5 million.
I'd say that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So pay your taxes.
Right.
Yeah. Well, maybe so there was
he
an
might
oversight.
Drop out of the top 10 once they get their cut. He may drop out of the top 10 is what I'm saying.
Just a bit, just a little bit.
An oversight between him and his father?
Yes, both.
How do you spend that when you're in prison? I wonder, by the way.
You don't have to go to prison, oddly enough.
You don't?
If it's under 2 years, you just go on probation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, back to you.
Howard Stern, $85 million. Kevin Hart, 6th on the list.
Wow.
With $87.5 million.
Wow.
There's a tie at number 4 between Dr. Phil and Cristiano Ronaldo, each with $88 million.
How is Dr. Phil still making that much money?
Seriously.
Novelist Indication, James I guess, Patterson.
Oh.
Really?
$95 million. He's the only author on the list. This is kind of a cheat because they're combining them, but as an act, One Direction at number 2 made $110 million.
Yeah, that's bogus.
I guess they're just counting it as one entity and how much money they made as a band. And number 1, Taylor Swift, $170 million.
Did you say number 2 is 110 and she's 170?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Not only, of course, her music earnings, but she's also got endorsement deals with Apple and Diet Coke and Keds and others, so not too shabby.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
She fell out the top 10 this year. She hasn't been very active. Kind of lazy. Today's celebrity birthdays: Topher Grace is 38. Michelle Rodriguez, also 38. Brock Lesnar is 39. Steve Howie is 39. And Cheryl Ladd, one of the original Charlie's Angels cast members. Not original. She came on after Farrah left, but still. OG Charlie's Angel, 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So Comic-Con was just canceled? They just, like, out of the blue, they just said, we're not going to have it this year?
Oh, no. Comic-Con is going full speed ahead.
Mm-hmm. But I thought we were broadcasting live from there.
That's what's been stopped cold.
That was happening,
That was a guarantee, and then stopped cold.
Kevin and Bean in San Diego, though, with a microphone, interviewing the famous people
like
who were
past
there
years, yes.
To promote their wares, is what I heard. That was my...
It was an exciting weekend that was planned.
That Wednesday, we're broadcasting Thursday, Friday.
Yeah, that was the plan.
Uh-huh.
And then somebody said, okay, that's no longer the plan.
I see.
That seems crazy.
Yeah.
All right. I misunderstood then. So Comic-Con is happening.
Yes.
We are giving away a pair of passes to San Diego's Comic-Con at the Convention Center. Coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though... Couldn't be more excited as a Hulu subscriber that Difficult People Season 2 available on my TV or computer today. The great Billy Eichner is on the phone, of course, from Parks and Recreation, Billy on the Street, and so much more. He's wonderful wherever he appears, including, I suspect, this interview on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mr. Eichner, welcome back, sir.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. Appreciate you coming on. Congratulations on Difficult People. Very excited about Season 2. Have you already heard from fans who are waiting at midnight when the new episodes dropped and they've already watched them all?
Yeah, people were tweeting at midnight. People were liking it. Patton Oswalt, great comic, tweeted right at midnight that he watched all the episodes and that we were meaner than ever and we were very, very bad people.
And he loved it
very much.
So much.
Well, you can't get higher praise than from Patton Oswalt. That must have made you feel pretty good.
It did. He's the best, and he was one of the first tweets we got. And, you know, I'll be honest, guys, the tweets are rolling in.
All right. That's good.
Well, speaking of tweets, I understand that's how you actually hooked up with Julie Klausner in the first place. You guys kind of met over social media?
Yeah, Julie created the show, and then she ended up being a writer on Billy on the Street and a producer on Billy on the Street for the first 4 seasons, and that's how we met each other, but I really started to get to know each other, I should say. But before that, yeah, we met. She discovered my YouTube videos, my Billy on the Street videos, the early ones before I had a show. I discovered her Tumblr and her tweets, and I just really loved her writing. She just really made me laugh. And that's how we connected. We started to tweet each other. And we would sort of have this ongoing conversation about pop culture on Twitter that everyone else could read. And that's how it all began, really.
It's amazing.
What a modern relationship. What a 21st century success story that is, that you guys could develop a friendship like that on social media. But you know what? I mean, when you think about it, that happens for people millions of times a day. I mean, that's kind of how we communicate now, I think.
This is, what, is this 60 Minutes or something?
Billy, you mentioned how Patton said that you guys were meaner this season, and I wanted to ask you about this because is there a fine line when you're creating the characters that you and Julie play on the show to make them people we can still root for and still want happiness for, even though they're so awful to everybody?
Yeah, I think that's part of the challenge of the show and also what people seem to like about the show, because the Billy and Julie on the show, and it isn't us exactly. You know, they're alternate universe versions of ourselves. It's Billy Epstein and Julie Kessler, and we're Billy Eichner and Julie Klausner. But the goal, what we want people to get out of it, is that Billy and Julie hate everyone except each other.
Mm-hmm.
So they have each other and they love each other. They just secretly hate all of their friends and their family and everyone that they know.
And really not so secretly.
And yes, and also not so secretly, right. And so they're very bitter, but they cling to each other. And so that's where, you know, the vulnerability comes in. And I think that people see that. So although they're very mean, people also relate to how close they are as friends. And the fact is, when you're really close with someone as a friend, you do gossip about people and you say catty things behind your other friends' backs. And that is a form of bonding and a defense mechanism that we all do from time to time. And I think what I've noticed is that although they're very mean, the catty remarks, it all becomes a bit like cathartic for people because it's how people want to behave in real life, but they never would.
Yes.
And so I think people enjoy that part of it.
I think you're absolutely right. This is the voice of Billy Eichner here on the Kevin Bean Show, talking about, among other things, his show Difficult People, which is back for season two. All the new 10 episodes are on Hulu right now.
You are all 10 them. Or just two of them?
Two of them are on right now.
Okay.
And then there'll be one a week for the next 8 weeks. So you can binge it at the end. You can't binge it right now.
Okay. All right, good. Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah. But, I mean, people who binge things don't really have a life, so.
I'm sorry?
Yes, come Allie, he's talking about you.
Yes, he's talking right to you, Allie.
How dare you?
Billy, I want to talk about your phenomenal guest stars on Difficult People, and it blows my mind some of the people that show up. I mean, for instance, that one episode last season, you took my breath away when Debbie Harry walks onto the screen. I mean, like in a million years, I never expected to see her. What could you tell us about who you got up for season two?
We have a ton of people: Julianne Moore, Tina Fey. I mean, it's such a varied list. Nathan Lane, a Method Man. Ken Burns pops up on the show.
What's happening?
But there are way more,
come on.
There are way more famous people than that. Joel McHale. God, there are so many that it's like I can't even remember. Fred Armisen is back. There are
crazy.
I mean, in every episode.
You had me at Method Man.
Yeah, and you know what? What was that?
You had me at Method Man.
You know, Method Man, people say, who's your favorite guest? And obviously, they're all fantastic. But he was the one that really surprised me the most because Method Man is so funny. And I'm sure, I know he's been in movies and things, and I was just, like, naive, and I apologize for that. But, like, he was the one that really blew us away just because it was so unexpected because his humor was so dry, and he totally got what's funny about Julie and I, which you wouldn't necessarily expect. And we really want to have him back on the show. He plays our manager in one episode, which is funny in and of itself. But he's really great.
Haven't seen
and Debbie Harry is back too. Now that I remember,
have you seen Method and Red, his show that he did with Redman?
I will say I have not seen it, and I feel terrible about that.
It's okay.
I saw like every episode of The Mysteries of Laura, but I never saw it.
All right.
So much for taste.
Last question for the great Billy Eichner here at the Kevin and Bean Show. I enjoyed so much the New Yorker profile that they ran on you recently. I mean, it was really – I felt it was more words than your career at this point deserved, if you don't mind me saying. But
wow.
I completely agree.
It was too much. But my question – I have to ask, and I apologize for this pull quote, but I have to ask you to tell us the story about how you ended up as an answer on Jeopardy and how much that screwed with your head.
Well, I have no idea how I ended up on it. I mean, I didn't know it was happening until it happened. Then people started tweeting me, oh, you're an answer on Jeopardy. But what's great about it, as I talk about in the New Yorker article, is that it was college Jeopardy. So you have what you would think, you know, younger people, people who are aware of pop culture to a certain degree more than the average Jeopardy contestant.
Right.
None of them had any idea who I was.
Yes!
None of them even attempted an answer. Like, no one buzzed in and said, Chris Hardwick.
You couldn't even get a false buzz.
No one said any other comedian's name, you know. So I'm responsible for something you never see on TV, which is 5 seconds of complete silence.
That is so fantastic.
You don't see that anymore.
No.
It's all noise, constant noise.
Yeah, most of that noise.
Someone about me.
Most of that noise is coming from you, by the way.
That's true. It all comes out in the wash.
All right.
Or whoever I'm talking to.
You got us all. Great stuff. Difficult People season 2 premieres today. You can see the first two new episodes already on Hulu. The season's going to be 10 episodes long. And trust me on this one, kids, if you haven't seen Difficult People, it's one of the funniest shows out there. And Billy Eichner, always a pleasure to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Likewise. Thanks, guys.
It's Pokemon Go time. Hit it, Steve. That's fine. Thank you. Was there any part of you guys that thought in your lifetime you would ever see Pokemon come back and come back big?
No, I don't think so.
To me,
I feel like it had its time and it was white hot and it came and went.
It was the Beanie Babies, as far as I was concerned. That was it. Well, that was a thing people used to do.
I don't think it was quite that quick, though. I don't think it came and left that quick. Yeah, it was huge.
It was huge. But a lot of things are huge and then go away and then you don't do it anymore. You know what I mean? How did Pokemon come back and capture the imagination of America in less than 5 hours after it was released? It was number one on every, you know, on the App Store and every device. What do you think, Dave? You were excited about it. You downloaded it first.
It never left, man. There's been movies. There's continuous games on Nintendo.
It may have never left, but it certainly is so white hot now again.
Yeah, and now just the chance to play on your smartphone in real life, it's really fun.
For people that don't know what Pokemon is, what exactly is it?
So Pokemon are like, there's little animals,
uh-huh,
like animal type.
No wonder
creatures.
Dave likes it.
Yeah. Right. And you catch them, you train them, and then you fight them.
You fight against them or you fight against other people?
Against other people, other trainers. Yeah. So you go to these gyms and they're located all over, you know, the place. And you train the gyms, and there's some gyms where you train and there's some gyms where you fight. And when you fight, you win and you get bonus points and you build up your experience points.
Now, Dave, how much time are you making to spend time going out real world and
can
capturing?
I answer this?
All
19 hours a day.
Me, personally, I'm a little too busy to actually walk around. Maybe on the weekend I'll have fun with it, but every time I walk Rhonda, I'm looking around. So
great. I'm sure Rhonda's happy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's just walking. She don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of the crowds that I have seen on the news are astonishing. Like, I was watching the news last night, and they showed an area of Central Park in New York. And I'm not kidding. There must have been 200 people there, all with their phones. And all of them were playing Pokemon. All of them.
They get in a fight?
No.
They throw down and get in a fight?
There was a Snapchat story yesterday about Pokemon Go, and these people are everywhere in every landmark. You just see them looking into their phones in a big circle trying to catch Pokemon. So they're all flicking their phones like, click, click, click. Come on, get it, get it.
So how many Pokemon characters have you caught?
Me? Five.
Okay. And
including the one in the pooper yesterday. That was awesome.
It was in your butt?
Most of us call it the bathroom.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well,
uh-huh. Yeah. And how many characters are there to catch? Like, what's the max? Is there a maximum score?
Yes. In Pokemon Go, they only released the original 151, but in the Pokemon universe, there are 720.
Wow. And who out there have you heard of? Have you heard of anybody who is into the hundreds already?
No one that I know of, but you know.
Oh, I assume.
Yeah,
there are.
I'm sure there are people, yeah. but like this guy I know went around Thursday night driving around Garden Grove
looking for Pokemon. That's great.
And he caught, they got off and went, but he caught 47
in one night?
In one night. And, you know, because he's like, oh, you're playing? I'm like, yes. And he's like, how many do you have? I'm like, four. And he goes, well, I don't have quite as much as you, but. And he looked, and he was so embarrassed. But it's cool. It's fun.
Now, are you playing against other people, or are you just playing against yourself?
You're playing against yourself.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? I think they'll fix it and make it where you could play with other people.
Yeah.
I mentioned first thing this morning, and this is what we want to talk about and have you call in at 1-800-520-1067, is the stories. You know, we talked yesterday about the lady who found a body in a river in Wyoming while she was out playing Pokemon Go. But the stories...
That's so realistic for a video game, you know?
No, that was unrelated to the game. Oh. She just happened to stumble across. But the stories of people who are getting hurt, there are lots of those already. People who fall off cliffs... People who step on things. Walk into traffic, get bruised. Those stories are interesting to me. People have already been either fired or threatened with being fired. I saw a story yesterday, I wish I'd save it, about a police station that has been turned upside down because so many of the officers are playing Pokemon on the job.
Wow.
I mean, it is an obsession. And I guess what we're interested in is... What has happened to you that was unexpected or interesting or unusual or damaging or whatever?
Like damaging is funnier to me.
Damaging is funny. Yes. Yeah. What has happened to you or your friends playing Pokemon Go over the last few days at 1-800-520-1067? I will tell you, the one lesson that I learned is you don't make fun of the Pokemon players. As easy as it is to do, you don't make fun of them.
What about those guys that were robbing everybody?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a bizarre story. I have actually a news report from that.
Police have arrested four people they suspect to have used the new Pokemon Go game to carry out a series of armed robberies. When authorities in Missouri arrested the suspects, they found a handgun with them in the vehicle. A police spokesperson told Gizmodo the suspects are accused of robbing 8 or 9 people over the past several days. They believe the suspects may have targeted victims who use Pokemon Go's beacon feature, which lures more players.
Now,
so
the thieves would sit there and have the people come to them and they would rob them.
This
they
is a kidnapping waiting to happen. This is murder waiting to happen.
But I don't know that it's that.
It's that. Okay. It's a Dateline special in the works. Take it away, Keith Morrison.
Dave, are you allowed to create a beacon? Can you do that? Or only certain people are
only
allowed?
Only robbers.
Do that?
I haven't got that far into it, but I know I could use the incense and bring Pokemon to me. So I don't know if that attracts other people, you know, if other players can see that as well. So
there's incest.
Incense. Very different than incest.
I should have pronounced
very
that more carefully.
let's take Chris in Fullerton real quick before the break. He's on line two. He'll get us started.
We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Pokemon Go is shaking up the world. What have you seen? What has it done for you? Chris, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
So I work security for Disneyland, and there are hundreds of those little Pokemon stations all over the Disneyland Resort.
Oh.
And yet on Saturday night, we had thousands of people walking through the downtown Disney and Disneyland area playing Pokemon.
That's so weird.
You're at Disneyland.
Right,
put the phone away.
Oh, that's good. I'm going to Disneyland Saturday.
No.
Yeah.
People at Disneyland are bumping into each other anyway. Now they're looking at their phones. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh, I am angry.
So, Chris,
tripping over planners.
Did you tell? Did you tell them, please stop doing this? You're looking at your phone. You're bumping into people.
We try to let people know that they need to be aware of their surroundings, but there were I'm not over exaggerating. 3 out of 5 people in the entire resort were on their phone playing poker.
Wow!
I like it.
This is so crazy, Chris, when you think about how fast it has blown up. Because a week ago, this didn't exist. No one was playing Pokemon at Disneyland, and now over half the people are. I mean, that really is insane.
Yeah, it's crazy. And now we're getting extra crowds because of all the little Pokestops at the Disneyland Resort. There's more people coming just to play Pokemon.
Yep, that makes sense.
Dave's going to be there this Saturday.
Yeah,
playing Pokemon.
I'll be playing. Chris, great call. Thank you so much. 1-800-520-1067. Your Pokemon Go calls next right after this on K-Rock.
Hit it, Steve.
Bean, I feel like you don't enjoy that theme.
I'm fine with the Pokemon.
It's a peppy little theme.
I think the theme is pretty terrible.
Pokemon.
Taking your calls on Pokemon Go at 1-800-520-1067. Our frequent contributor, Paul Lee, writes in, guys, it makes being at Disneyland so much better because you can play while waiting in line. You can catch the Pokemon and farm gear from the Pokestops. It makes going anywhere more fun. My whole family plays together, including my wife. Now, why would he say my whole family, including my wife? Isn't that automatic?
I would think that would be part of it, but maybe you would think that she wouldn't. But my question is, how do you play if you're standing? Because that's the hack I want. I want to not walk.
Oh.
Well, no, you're looking around. You're looking around, and you could see if something pops up, and then you could start catching and stuff like that. And if you're at a stop, you could start recharging all your stuff. And
Battery dying is part of my issue. My battery dies so quickly.
Oh, you must have an iPhone.
Yeah.
Paul continues, it's awesome family bonding time, and we're getting loads of exercise. Speaking of exercise, let's talk to Tony. He's in Irvine. He's up first on line 8 on the Kevin Beach Show.
Why is Dave dancing? Hey, Tony.
Hey, guys. I actually was never really a fan of Pokemon. I actually missed out on that in my childhood, and my friends got me into this app, and I still don't understand most of it, but it is pretty fun. I'm not normally an active guy, and my girlfriend is a huge Pokemon fan, so we're always walking around, and as a result of this, like I'm actually losing weight from this thing. It's like it's done more.
It's actually getting you to exercise.
Exactly. I mean, I actually think this app is as nuts as things are with it. It could do a lot for people. I mean, it's going to get people active, get people to go outside. I mean, you might meet people, in the park, who are also looking for Pokemon and strike up a conversation,
Yeah.
It's funny how you mentioned the battery's dying. I think, I have a feeling that people, the people who make cell phones are probably going to start coming out with batteries that last longer or, because it burns through data, everyone's going to start pitching, switch to our phones. We'll give you more data.
Yeah, true.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, true. Yeah.
Good Tony idea. With a deep dive.
All right. Nice.
And Tony already tried to figure out how to meet chicks using it, too, which I respect very much. All right. Let's talk to Jarrett. Line 4, please. Westlake Village up next. He's another guy like our first caller who was at Disneyland. He works someplace and is being overrun by people playing Pokemon Go.
Hey, Jarrett.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Morning. We are good.
All right. Hope you can hear me. So I work in a cemetery, if you can believe it.
You work in a cemetery?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
And so do you guys know the theory behind how the gyms work in the app?
No. Tell us.
So apparently I haven't really gotten there yet and unlocked it, but a place where people go into immediate vicinity of that area, and they, battle their Pokemon for control of that area. And I fired up the app one day at work and looked down, and lo and behold, one of the mausoleums in the cemetery is one of those gyms.
Awesome.
So have you seen a bunch of people come into the cemetery to play the game on somebody's grave?
Actually, just at the end of the day, a coworker and I were walking out, and I see this guy walking up and down the road, and he's looking at his phone, and he takes off in a full sprint up a hill. And I was wondering what he was doing, and I looked down at the app, wondering, okay, what points could he possibly be looking after? And I think he was playing Pokemon.
Oh,
look, you don't see a lot of people sprinting through a cemetery.
It's just how Grandma would have wanted it, though.
Thanks.
All right, Jared, great call. Appreciate that.
Hold on, guys.
What, Dave?
I just got a Rhyhorn.
Boom!
Woo!
Dave just got a Rhyhorn, everybody.
Wow.
Let's go to Rosemead and talk to Gil, line 6. Here's a potential downside of playing the Pokemon Go.
Hey, Gil.
Hey, good morning, party people. How's it going?
Good, thank you. Pokemon Go. What happened?
All right, so yesterday morning I downloaded the app, and I read a story that if you ignore the first three Pokemon that come out, that you get a shot at Pikachu. So that's what I did. I was driving on the freeway. I kept ignoring the first three Pokemon, and then all of a sudden Pikachu shows up. And I wasn't familiar enough with the app to know that I just had to click on him. I thought I literally had to drive towards him.
So right.
I cut somebody off.
You almost got in a car accident.
I almost got in a car accident. I pissed off my wife, and I almost totaled my car.
Wow, dude.
But
dude.
Did you get Pikachu? Yeah.
That's the most important question, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah, I did get Pikachu.
Yeah! Oh, so lucky. Man.
Suck it, Dave.
That's the only one I want. Dave, you are a notoriously terrible driver.
I'm the best driver. Yes.
Well, you don't use your windshield wipers and you don't turn left, so the fence rests. But my question is, tell me you're not playing Pokemon Go while you drive.
Oh, God, no. No, no, no. I can't.
Oh, really? Please.
100%. Guys.
100% you are.
Who would admit they're bad driving things? Me. I would.
But you don't think you're a bad driver in any way.
Well, no, but you know what I'm saying. I admit my windshield wipers.
Is that
I admit to texting.
Yes,
I admit
you
to all
don't think any of those things are bad.
You did play in an Uber, though, right?
I did play in an Uber,
well,
yes.
Sure,
but
fine.
I do not play while I drive. That's
you're
just
saying,
it's a little too much. That's too crazy.
Let me close with this real fast because I thought this was so funny. You guys know Run the Jewels, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. LP from Run the Jewels got into a Twitter feud with Pokemon fans. He said.
Never a good idea.
I don't think that's a good idea either. Here's the deal. If in 1 year someone doesn't get seriously hurt playing that S, I'll personally attempt to become a Pokemaster. By the way, 1 year. How about in 1 week somebody's going to get seriously hurt,
yeah,
I think.
Sure.
Someone is going to get accidentally maimed or killed off this Pokemon S. Then again, I don't actually – here's the part that really got the community upset. Then again, I don't actually care, but I will laugh the second one of you gets hit by a car, or I will softly chuckle to myself. Sadly, soft but sad, he said. So it was a firestorm of controversy to the point where he actually ended up giving up and saying, you know what, I'm being too hard on you guys, I don't mind, so just to show that I'm part of the community, I'm going to do a Pokemon rap for you, which he freestyled, which as you'll be able to tell, and then he opened it up for people to start remixing it and sending it back to him, so now he's like part of the gang, part of the community. But I thought you guys would enjoy hearing the high quality LP rap on Pokemon.
Pokemon rap, Pokemon rapping, this is the Pokemon rap. I like Pokemon, you like the Pokemon. Rap about Pokemon because we like it. We all are a community. We are a community that likes the Pokemon, and I'm just glad that I'm one of you.
So now,
wow.
You've been playing
happily
ever after. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 7:53. One of the most anticipated moments of the Kevin and Bean Show all week long is Tuesdays just after 8 for the Bachelorette Report. Ralph, how's the show been going?
Spectacular. Greatest.
Are the gentlemen in it for the right reasons?
They're always in it for the right reasons.
Okay.
They want to find true love.
Well, I know you're rooting for JoJo to end up with the right guy, so
there's no chance of that happening.
The right
really?
Guy's not there.
Not this season. Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about it. Coming up next, right after the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday. What's up?
Congratulations to Sofia Vergara. Turned 44 over the weekend. She celebrated with her nearest and dearest with it. A big Italian dinner and a big theme party. Nothing better than a theme party. Her birthday party this year, its theme was lemons. Of course, the lemons. In fact, her 23-year-old son Manolo dressed up as a lemon for the affair. Everybody wore yellow and was a big celebration of Sofia and lemons, a big lemon-themed party. So if you want to see pictures, you can check it out over at lemonparty.com.
I am not
you can just
following.
Punch that in, and you can see photos from the big affair. Apparently,
don't do that.
Very, very happy. Oh, no, it's great. It's Sofia Vergara, and a lot of the Modern Family cast is there. So
do not do that.
Lemonparty.com.
You're not going to like it.
Is the website you want to use to check out there. It was a lemon-themed birthday party.
I've never heard of that.
I don't want your damn lemons.
Who loves lemons that much?
That's a strange choice.
Why does she love lemons? Once again, not enough information in the story for me.
Open up a blog.
Miley Cyrus is madly in love with Liam Hemsworth. She and her hunky Australian fiancé are back together and better than ever. So much so that Miley Cyrus has confirmed her love with a permanent tribute.
Go ahead.
What happened?
Just looked up.
what a lemon party was.
Why would you do that? I said don't.
That's why.
Okay.
Sorry, Ralph.
The permanent tribute to Liam Hemsworth. She got a tattoo of a jar of Vegemite.
On next her, time, think before you ink.
On wow. her left arm.
That's something.
Vegemite, for those who don't know, is a popular Australian spread. They put on bread and toast and stuff and eat it, and it tastes like ass.
I think it's an acquired taste.
It's ass. You acquire ass taste. If that's what you want to acquire. It's death in a jar. And so she had it on her left arm. So now she's got a nice permanent tribute to Vegemite on her arm. That's going to, yeah, she's going to regret that in a couple of years. I'm just telling you right, couple here, months. Right now.
I get that you want to make a statement about your boyfriend or fiance's country. I get that. But aren't there 25 things that come to mind immediately before you get to Vegemite for a tattoo? Don't you get a kangaroo, or you get a koala, or you get the Sydney Opera House, you get the...
She doesn't play by your rules, Bean. I guess she's not. An outlaw.
It's too loud. You're too old. Step off, old man.
But Vegemite. I guess what I'm saying is Vegemite.
Right. That's what we're saying.
Liam apparently loves Vegemite, so it all ties together. I don't know if he's ever loved a koala.
Yeah, all right.
But he's...
So you're saying he loves ass. That's what you're saying. That's what he's saying. He said it's ass. Vegemite is ass.
Men have loved a koala, but he's loving a llama these days. That llama tooth skank.
Ralph.
She doesn't have llama teeth. You're right. My bad. I don't know what I was thinking.
I think it was the skank part.
Oh, yeah. No.
She's a sweet girl.
Yes. She looks like she's fragrant.
We're all just people.
We're all just
That's
people.
True. That's tough to argue.
Congratulations, Floyd Mayweather. He's got a new career. Strip club owner. Floyd is set to open up a strip club called The Girls Collection. That, in his words, will be a high-end classy spot, just like the man himself.
Is that a final name or a placeholder?
That's the final name.
Okay.
Staff is reportedly set to go. The building's being renovated, and the ladies will start shaking what their mamas gave them. In just a few short months. So finally, Vegas is getting a strip club. And I can't... It's about high time that place had a strip club that you go to and see strippers.
Yeah!
It's the one thing they've been missing for some time now.
They do have some there, Ralph.
What?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But why would you open...
Yeah, they already
why have. Would you open up a business that in a
probably
place that already has a glut of the same business? Why? That seems like a bad model.
But he's got a good name, so he's got that going for him.
Girls Collection.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like something in Bean's backyard. You have to dig up to find. Today's celebrity birthday, Cheryl Ladd, 65 years old today. She was one of Charlie's Angels. She took over as Farrah Fawcett left that show. But I think she's even hotter. She was Chris, younger daughter of Farrah's character, so they kept it all in the family. Steve Howey, 39 years old today. Brock Lesnar, also 39. Michelle Rodriguez turns 38. And actor Topher Grace is 38 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
K-Rock Summer Sticker Time. It's on. It's happening at all SoCal Hot Topic locations. You pick up the sticker at the store for free. Enter the password on the back at krock.com, and you might win a free concert with the band 21 Pilots and a brand new car, a 2016 Honda Civic. This is too much. It's too much for
too
one
much
person.
Prize for one person.
I say, yeah. Right. So get the sticker. Get the details at krock.com. It's Tuesday just after 8. You know what that means. Hit it, Steve.
Well, his name is Ralph Garman, and he loves the Bachelorettes. Yeah. With Petra's Papa Dick is always watching it. Watching dumb dudes without any regrets. It's the report on the Bachelorette.
Ow! P's on vacation this week, I understand, Ralph?
Yeah, he's away.
All right, so you're handling it solo, but please bring us the details. How was last night's all-new Bachelor?
Well, the stakes were never higher because, you know, we're just right around the corner from hometown dates where the four remaining Bachelors will take JoJo home to meet their families.
Now, you truly don't like any of these people.
So a couple of them are fine.
Okay.
One of them's a real nice guy, from last night's episode, and there's several douchebags in the mix, but there's nobody jumps out and you're like, wow, what a great guy. I'd really like to hang out with him.
Now, Kevin and I have not, we were gone, so we missed the Bachelorette report, for a couple of weeks. Are any of ours in the office pool still in the running to win JoJo's hand?
As of last night, I was still in the running. Chip was still in the running. And
I was out after the first episode.
Yeah, you were out.
Uh-huh.
And Allie is still in the running.
Okay. Nice.
There's, right. As the beginning of last night's show, there were still three of us left.
Okay.
Very exciting. Okay.
But that number has dwindled.
Oh,
we'll
no.
cover that as we move forward. So as I mentioned, the stakes were high. The guys are really getting tense because they want to be one of the lucky ones to bring JoJo home to meet their parents so their parents can really like JoJo, form a strong attachment with her, and then have their hearts broken, too, when she chooses someone else and she's no longer around. There was a one-on-one date with pint-size Marine hero Alex, the diminutive veteran from Oceanside, California, finally got his one-on-one date with Alex, and everybody was going out into the countryside there in Argentina. Alex got to drive one-on-one with JoJo as they headed out there. The rest of the boys were relegated to a bus ride. They put them on this bus, and they were going to be bussed out to that same locale. So the guys had to find some way to entertain themselves on the bus and also take a swipe at Alex, who they were jealous of because he was having the one-on-one date. So how better to do that than with a rap smackdown?
Yes.
So all the boys in the bus got together and wrote this rap.
Oh, no.
Please enjoy as they make fun of the fact that Alex is short.
Well, Alex was on
a motorcycle ride.
It went all right, but JoJo cried because she wishes
she was with us.
It's way more fun chilling on a bus.
And he might get a kiss,
but he won't get far.
He's a little bitty dude
riding in a sidecar.
And he might have game,
and he might be cool,
but to get in a sidecar,
he need a stool.
He need a stool.
He needed a stool to get in the sidecar because he's so small. He's not big.
Oh, that's what they were saying.
Yeah.
Oh. This is why you need to start keeping at least one of the African Americans in the running until the end of the show.
Well, not to be outdone, Alex himself is also a rapper.
Oh, of course. Everyone is now.
He's a master freestyler. And so while he is being chauffeured to the location with JoJo in the back seat, he also shows off his rapping prowess. And here's Alex's rap.
I can freestyle. Give me a topic. Any topic.
JoJo.
Yo, yo, JoJo. Gots to go to the Lico Stove. See what I did there? That's like my go-to line.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
How is that your go-to line?
That's a good one. It's a good go-to line.
If you're going to have a go-to line, why not make it better?
Always
it
works. Go to the Lico Stove. You can always work that in no matter what you're talking about. Alex and JoJo went on their date where Alex got to show off what it would be like if he was a gaucho. Familiar with what a gaucho is, Kevin? You know what a gaucho is?
No, I'm thinking bullfighter, but I don't think that's it.
That's not it.
Okay.
He's an Argentinian cowboy is what a gaucho is.
All right.
And they're there in Buenos Aires. And so he goes out into the estancia, as it's known in Espanol, which is a ranch there. And he shows off his horse prowess and they dress him up as a gaucho with like a bolo tie and a weird beret kind of hat. He looked like a smacked ass. And they go out there and they're hanging out together in a very romantic setting, and they're with a horse, and they're lying in a pasture, and very romantically, Alex turns to her and says, listen carefully. He'll kiss her and whisper, I am your Gucho.
Gucho?
Yeah.
Gucho. Gotcha. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
How romantic,
no.
You dumbass.
No.
Later on in the day, Alex professes the fact that he is indeed falling in love with JoJo. He says, I need to lay it all out there. You need to know that I am in love with you.
So romantic.
And she promptly sends him home.
What?
She says, you know what? Hearing you say that, I should sort of be happy or excited to hear you say that. And I'm neither of those, so it's time for you to go.
Wow,
that's harsh.
So our Marine gets the boot, and he's sent home. He was my pick in the office pool, by the way, so that knocked me out.
Mm.
So he's so hot, though.
He's hot, but he is sort of awkward and dorky and wildly uncomfortable. I can't tell whether it's because of the cameras or because of it's her, but the whole series, he has just seemed painfully uncomfortable in this process.
He could still be a Gucho, though, right?
He's a good Gucho. He's one of the best Guchos I know. So he gets the boot. Then she goes on a date with Jordan Rogers.
Oh, that's yours, Chip.
Yep.
Of course, that's Chip's player. They go to a vineyard where they get a chance to romantically stomp grapes for winemaking.
Is that romantic?
You know how you press grapes the old school way is you get into a barrel full of grapes and you stomp on them and you press the juice out of them. And how romantic is that for the two of them to do that in a vineyard? Not quite as romantic as once the grapes have been pulped and mashed into a soupy, chunky mixture to dip a wine glass into it and then take a nice big swig.
Oh, no.
Nice big swig.
Oh, no.
After your sweaty, stinky feet have trampling down on the grapes.
Nope.
Why not just have a nice sip of chunky, musty...
Please stop.
Feet dirt.
Please stop.
Feet-laden, stem-filled, seed-filled, skin-filled grape juice right out of the bucket.
That doesn't
sound...
You
don't want to drink wine right out of the grape bucket.
I've heard that.
A wise man
true.
Once said. But these two do. They dip their glasses in and make America gag.
This is quite the experience.
Does that all go down? You know what?
Hey, how's it smell?
Smells like a very full bouquet.
Looks good. Cheers.
Cheers to whatever was on our feet that's about to go in our mouth.
Drink it up.
Very sexy.
While they're on their date, Aaron and JoJo start talking about their future. It's obvious that he is going to be included in the hometown date section of the show.
Oh, okay.
She is already making plans to meet his family. And she's like, so, who's there going to be in the house that I might meet if I come to meet your family? Hint, hint, wink, wink. What members of your family might I be able to interact with?
I see what's happening
Are there any members of your family that might be there at home when I come to your home and I spend time with your family? Who from your family will be there? I don't think she got the answer she wanted.
My middle brother won't be there.
And that's Aaron. Mm-hmm. Okay. Why?
Aaron, like I said, I have a great relationship with my brother Luke. Me and Aaron don't really have that much of a relationship. It's just kind of the way he's chosen to do life. And I chose to stay close with my family and my parents and my brother. And it's not ideal. And I love him. I can't imagine what it's like to be in his shoes and have the pressure he has and the demands from people that he has. Don't have hard feelings against him. It's just how things go right now.
Producers are so bummed.
He is hurting, too,
Aaron
by the way.
Aaron thinks you're a dick. That's what it
That's
comes down to.
That's what's happening here.
Wow.
Honestly.
Aaron
and you're embarrassing
like
the family by going on The Bachelorette.
But the soft rock guitar was sweet.
That's the sound of JoJo's heartbreaking now knowing she's not going to meet Aaron Rodgers when she goes on the hometown date.
Oh, my God. My guy's coming ahead.
So,
right?
Aaron, with no relationship with this guy whatsoever, who is long touted as, it's Aaron Rodgers' little brother.
Right.
How about that?
There's apparently no connection to Aaron whatsoever.
Wow.
We shan't be seeing him in future episodes.
That's sad, isn't it, Ralph? That was a sad moment.
Well, it was the guitar.
I heard
it
guitar.
Even sadder. The guitar.
It was the acoustic guitar, I think, really brought it home.
It was beautiful.
And then in the group date, James Taylor, singer-songwriter James Taylor.
No, just same name, Ralph. Just same name.
But he is a singer and a songwriter, actually. So
he's not the
It's
James
even more
Taylor.
Confusing. he decides he's going to bring it. He knows he's probably lagging. He's in the rear.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, the pressure is on. So he's going to really impress her as they all hang out at this party. He is going to impress her by showing how many large steak cut french fries he can stuff into his mouth at one time.
I'm sorry. Wait.
I thought you said he was going to impress her.
What impresses a woman more than a mouthful of mashed potatoes?
Said it for years.
I can steak every french fry on there minus six in my mouth.
Chase and Robbie, they got some competition coming because James Taylor's bringing his A game. I'm bringing my A game.
Ready? Let's go. This is how we do it.
I'm going to have to shove these in your
mouth. Shove them in.
So that's his A game?
That's his A game. And
that's
he does
his A game.
He takes about 20 large steak cut french fries in his mouth at one time before he starts to gag and has to run into another room and spit them out. So his A game really, I think, impressed her so much so that when it came time to give out the roses, he too was sent home.
Oh, no.
So now we're just down to Robbie, Luke, Jordan, and Chase. They are the four remaining men that JoJo has to choose from. Next week we'll be meeting all their families, as JoJo will. So
is Allie the only one left in our pool?
No, Chip.
Oh, Chip
is still in with Jordan Rogers, and Allie, who had Chase, is also still
You
in the
never
pool,
hear
so
about Chase. What the hell's he doing?
He is a bag of sand. He is such a dullard and such... I can't imagine what she could possibly see in him.
She probably doesn't even know he's there.
He is just a...
He's just slipping through every week.
Boring, piece of wallpaper.
Oh,
he's a comatose douche.
So you're impressed with him?
I really does. Out of the four remaining, the only one I can really stomach is Luke, who's kind of, seems like a pretty like a good old boy. Likes to ride horses and shoot skeet and stuff like that. And he's fine, I suppose. But they're all just awful. Just awful. I'm hoping next week the families will start to mix things up and somebody will get, you know, racist or angry or drunk. So there's hope for next week's episode. Talk to you then.
Watching dumb dudes without any regrets. It's the report on The Bachelorette.
Hey, thanks a lot so much for joining us here on the program. Ralph Garman brought a video to our attention yesterday that, if true, is somewhat terrifying. Right?
Yeah, it's
somewhat terrifying.
It's either horrific or fake.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And I know that, I mean, Ali, you did morning television for years. You know how common it is for a guest to have on and have you participate in some sort of exhibition.
Absolutely.
Or show. They always are asking you to do something wacky on the news.
Sure.
Ralph, why don't you describe for our listeners, I know we're posting it all over our Kevin Bean social media right now. Why don't you describe for our listeners what happened to this presenter on air in Poland?
It's a Polish morning talk show, apparently. It's sort of like a Good Morning Poland.
Right.
And they have had on as a guest a magician from, I believe it was Poland's Got Talent, one of those kind of shows.
Really?
And he comes on and he's doing a trick. It's all in Polish, so it's hard to make out exactly what's happening. But you can tell he's a magician and he's got a trick where he's got four paper bags and he puts in one of the paper bags a block of wood that has a sort of a stand in it where a looks like an eight penny nail or something can be straight up, stick straight up. And he puts it in the bottom of the paper bag, like lunch size paper bags, and he crimples the tops up so they're all closed. And then he sort of plays a shell game where he mixes them up. And I guess the premise of the trick is he's going to show you that he can ascertain which one has the nail in it, which one does without even seeing it.
So it's like Russian roulette, kind of. Is he going to get seriously injured by smashing one of these paper bags with his hand?
So I'm assuming the trick is supposed to go that they're all empty at one point. You slap them all down and it'll go, ooh, where did the nail and the piece of wood go? And so he slaps one down and it's empty. And then he says to the woman, apparently, can you please help me participate? Can you slap your hand down on one of the bags? And she's all nervous about it because she thinks one of them may hold the nail. And then the shriek of horror and pain comes as apparently she has her hand has been impaled with a nail.
She swings hard too.
Yeah,
hard enough that the nail goes all the way through her hand.
Yeah, she's all in.
Doesn't look like it goes through. It looks like it just sticks in her hand because when she raises her hand up, you can see the nail sticking out of the palm of her hand.
Okay.
Then the magician grabs the nail out and applies pressure to the wound. Apparently, and then she is led off the stage reportedly to get help, and the station and the producers of the show have reported that she did go to the hospital and she was treated and got a tetanus shot and everything else. That was the news report about the event. So
now, when I was watching this video, and we're going to play the horrifying audio here in a moment. When I was watching this video, I thought, why aren't they showing what happened to her hand? And then I thought, it's morning television. I'm sure that was producer's discretion, which is you don't do a close-up on this lady's hand that has a nail going through it that potentially could be bleeding and horrifying for people watching, right?
Or it didn't happen.
Well, it happened, but you're saying it's
I'm
fake.
Saying it's fake.
Okay.
That she's part of the trick.
Uh-huh.
Because he's a magician.
So she's magician.
And magicians can't be trusted.
And the trick then is, oops.
Yes.
Okay.
It's an interesting trick. The trick is failure.
The trick is, oh no, what a crazy moment this was. This woman's stuck her hand on the nail.
So, in other words, this is like, let's make it appear that the woman has been cut in half
yes.
by a chainsaw because everybody will ooh and ah and talk about it. But in that case, though, then the magician comes back and the lady jumps out of the box and they show that she's fine. And we're left, you know, wondering how the trick was done. This lady never returned to the telecast.
No, and they did an update video where her hand is bandaged and she's talking to the audience and he apologized and she says there's no hard feelings and, you know, accidents happen. It's live television. Accidents happen. And
if this is real, it's horrifying.
If it's a hoax, that's their story and they're sticking to it because they have not come forward and said, oh, we got you. It was one big charade.
He's a horrible magician.
That's my guess.
Right? Good, because
I like to think being a Polish magician, that this is one big Polish joke, really. Did you hear about the Polish magician who drove a nail through his assistant's hand? So.
The video is up at the Kevin Bean Facebook page if you'd like to watch this. But here's what it sounded like on Good Morning Poland as this poor lady had a nail go through her hand.
Oh.
Z prawdziwym metalowym gwoździem. Jakbyś mogła sprawdzić Czy jest ostry?
Jest ostry.
Jest? No. Będzie mniej boleć.
Ja wpuściliśmy? No ładnie. Mhm.
Za chwileczkę każdy z nas losowo wybierze jedną torbę. Zanim to zrobimy, ja...
It's a beautiful language.
Zamieszam, tak żebyście...
Nie chcę tej z gwoździem.
Nie chcesz tej z gwoździem?
Marzenka cieszy się, że on na każdy siadać nie
doskonale. Słuchajcie, taki to sposób.
Empty bag.
Rozwalamy.
Okay, so that was the magician.
He's fine, all right. Down a paper bag, empty, no nail in there.
Right.
Po kolei. Now you, Svetlana, you put your hand down on one. Uważaj.
Raz, dwa...
Kurwa, przepraszam. Przebiłem ci rękę.
What do you think you said there? Oh, that's gonna leave a mark.
Przebiłem mi rękę. Przepraszam.
Said, that's on me. That one's on me. That's my bad. That one's on me.
So he grabs her hand and like puts pressure on it.
Right. Uh-huh. Pulls the nail out of the wound and then immediately puts pressure on to try to stem whatever.
And then she slinks down under the desk as if she's fainting.
Here's the thing. I think a lot of people have a point. It's probably fake, but at the same time, if it's fake, she's a really good actress.
I was just going to say that scream is horrifying.
I don't know what her background is, whether she's a famous lady of the Polish stage or something. Maybe she's got some mad acting chops. But if you watch the video, her reaction seems to be genuine.
It absolutely does. I agree. That scream would be tough to manufacture as an actress, I think, right?
But then again, there's zero blood, right?
Well, have you ever punctured yourself?
Of course. Who are you talking to?
It's not like a cut.
Yeah, it's not instantaneous.
Or the
gushing.
Blood's everywhere. When you puncture yourself, usually it takes a while for the trauma of the wound to open up, and then the blood starts to come out afterwards.
Plus the palm of your hand, there's not a ton of blood there anyway, right?
Once, and it took... At first, you're sort of in shock because you see a hole, and then moments later, you start to see the blood come out.
Do you think him putting his thumb over that maybe helped it not?
I'm guessing. I don't know. Or was it he put his thumb over there to obscure the fact that there was no hole and it was all a gag? I mean, I have no opinion one way or the other on this. I can't decide.
Yeah, I'm curious about what our listeners will think as well. So, again, if you want to post on that, it's at the Kevin and Me Facebook page if you want to see the video. Could we hear her scream one more time? Is it possible we have that up maybe?
Uważaj.
Raz, dwa.
Why are you laughing, Dee?
That's my question.
It's just.
Why
it's...
does that make you laugh?
No, I'm not. Can I hear that one more time? Hey, let me get my pants off first.
No.
That's horrifying.
It is. It's terrible. I feel awful for her. I really do. I guess I'm laughing
tell
because
by your chuckling.
It's so.
It's so awkward. The sympathy of your the giveaway for your sympathy, I think, was the laughter we heard once she started screaming in pain.
I feel terrible for the nice lady with the nail in her.
Yeah, we can tell. All right.
All right. We got to open up the phone lines right now. Ralph, I'm glad you're here because you're going to help us give away some tickets to Comic-Con. As you know, it is that magical time of year again for some people, maybe not us so much, but some people to enjoy the Comic-Con down at San Diego Convention Center. Starts July 22nd. What do we need to know for folks to call today?
Well, everybody loves colored superheroes, right?
Colored superheroes.
Yeah.
Sounds racist.
Superheroes who have color as part of their superhero identity.
Ooh, nice.
Superheroes that have colors. And there's a lot of different kinds of superheroes. Some are based on animals. Some are based on their superpowers. And some of them have a color in their name. We'll be talking about colorful superheroes.
All right. So if you want to play the game, 1-800-520-1067. Call now. You can win some Comic-Con tickets next on K-Rock. Comic-Con is the largest comic convention in the Americas. Is it the largest in the world, Ralph?
I would.
It says Americas, but I would think
say
bigger.
Yes, if I had any facts whatsoever.
Since we don't have facts, let's just make it up and say it's the biggest
where they have
in the world.
One. Where are they have a bigger one? Saigon? Where's
yeah,
a big,
I can't
where's
imagine
a bigger
either.
One?
Yeah, cause especially since America makes the vast majority of what's at Comic-Con, right?
Right.
Comic books, science fiction, fantasy, film, TV, horror, animation, anime, manga, toys, collectibles, fantasy novels, and so much more. Comic-Con.org is the website. We're giving away a pair of one-day passes to San Diego Comic-Con right now at 1-800-520-1067. This game's called Superhero Color.
Color. Superhero. Color. I am a hero walking, superpowers talking. Wear my super suit, these are tights, not stockings. Living life like a hero, cause that's what I do. My outfit's super pimpin', the colors I choose. Black or green, battle Hulk, it just don't matter. We will die to save your life, watch the bad guys scatter. Color. Is there a hero that uses tie-dye? He'd be a really cool guy.
Color.
Super hero.
Superhero colors. These are all superheroes that have color in their superhero name.
DJ Omar Khan.
I like it.
None of them are tie-dyed. Just to give you a clue.
All right. Sounds simple enough. Who's our first contestant here, Kevin?
First, we have Megan in San Dimas. Hi, Megan.
Hi.
Hi, Megan. We have one pair here, so everybody entered into a drawing, right? Is that
correct.
How it works? Okay, Megan, here is your question. This superhero and the superhero's name is the ceremonial title given to the tribal chief of the African nation of Wakanda. And there's a color in his name.
Black Panther.
Black Panther.
Nicely done.
Yeah. Megan, everybody.
Well done, Megan. You're in the drawing.
All right. Let's go to Jules and Laverne. Hi, Jules.
Good morning.
Good morning,
again,
Jules.
Again with the ladies today for Comic-Con
yes,
passes,
Bean,
by
so
the
what
way.
Is that teaching you?
Taught me that maybe we were wrong that this is an all dude thing.
Oh.
That's maybe that was on
after
us.
For 20 years or so, that
He's
is
saying,
changing?
To me, maybe we were wrong.
Oh. Bean still thinks they're calling for his boy, for their boyfriends, right?
Yeah, figure
possible.
It out.
Yeah. Let's find out. Let's see what Jules knows.
All right, Jules. Dan Garrett, Ted Kord, and Jaime Reyes have all been known as this insect-themed hero with a color in his name.
Insect-themed hero.
Insect-themed hero. All three men have been the secret identity for this character over the years. Dan Garrett, Ted Kord, and Jaime Reyes.
Oh, Green Hornet.
No, I'm sorry.
No?
It's a good guess, though. Blue Beetle. We're looking for Blue Beetle.
Oh, Blue Beetle. That's Blue Beetle. Old school.
Yeah, the old school and
all
new
right.
school.
Thank you, Jules.
Sorry you disappointed your boyfriend, but thanks for calling.
Oh, you're the worst.
Let's go to Chris and San Gabriel. Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, Chris. This android was originally created to attack the Justice League of America, but eventually became a member of that team. Android. Color in the name.
Color in the name.
Justice League of America.
Drawing a blank. No. I don't know.
I'm sorry. Red Tornado. The Red Tornado.
That's the one you just said.
Oh, Chris's wife
should have put
pissed.
The girl on the phone.
Yeah, right? She knows that's better
what,
than you, Chris.
That's what Bean's been saying this whole time, right?
Yeah, guys are calling for their girlfriends. That's what he's always been saying.
He was owned right there.
That's what you just said, dumbass.
Come on, you idiot.
You said it before you picked up the phone.
You just said it.
Get out of the house.
Frank,
get out.
Frank in Anaheim. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Frank, here's your question. This Avenger and her brother are actually the children of the supervillain Magneto.
Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet
Look at
Witch.
That. That.
Well done.
4 for 4, baby. 4 for 4.
4 for 4. He's got all the info.
Wow, take Frank. It easy.
You're in the drawing as well.
Melda in Walnut. Hi there.
Hi.
Melda, we were just talking about the Scarlet Witch and her brother who are actually the children of Magneto. This speedy hero is Scarlet Witch's brother.
Quicksilver.
Quicksilver.
Boom.
Boom.
Nicely done.
Now we're on a roll.
All right.
Let's go to Robert in Upland. Welcome to the show, Robert.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Robert. This hero is one of a corps of galactic guardians who protect 3,600 sectors of the universe.
Green Lantern.
Green Lantern. Well done.
People are
These
on
are
the
your
phones.
People, Ralph.
They're sharp.
All right. Let's go to Jonas in Southgate.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Jonas. This female hero is an expert martial artist, but she also has the superpower of a destructive sonic vocal cry.
Black Canary.
Black Canary. Well done.
Check it out.
Man. Wonder what it's going to be like for people to go to Comic-Con. I bet it's going to be fun.
It must be
what?
Nice.
Hey,
to
Ralph, where are
San
we going?
Diego.
I can't remember what happened.
Looking at you, sales.
Okay. Let's go to Matt in Los Angeles. Hey, Matt.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Matt. This female hero is a member of the Legion of Superheroes in the 31st century. She has the power to shrink to tiny size, as do all natives of her home planet, Imsk.
Oh, Imsk is a good planet.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Color in the name.
Shrinking Violet.
Yes!
Wow!
Unbelievable.
Oh, strong.
I dug deep for that one. Yeah?
You did.
And by right going deep, you meant had Google on your phone. Okay, well done, though.
You,
congratulations.
Sir.
All right, Jonas unexpectedly pulled out that answer at the end. Robert is in the drawing, as is Melda, Frank, and Megan. Only one will win passes for San Diego's Comic-Con. And Ms. Allen McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Melda.
Yeah! Melda!
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 Congratulations, Melda!
Yay, I'm so excited. I called you about Preacher, too.
There you go.
Well, enjoy Comic-Con, Melvin.
Enjoy Comic-Con, and thanks for playing the game.
Go.
Sure wish we could go.
Superhero. Color.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
We are taking calls coming up after the top of the hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show on any topic. It's our feature that we call What's Good. Gives you the opportunity to be part of the show. Talk about whatever's going on in your life. You got questions. You got comments. You got Pokemon Go problems. We want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067.
You have a theory on that Polish magician?
Yeah.
Real or fake? I think Bean and I are changing our minds entirely. We were 100% fake.
Yesterday you were screaming at everyone saying, how could you be so stupid? It's obviously fake.
I think it's real.
How could that happen in the span of 12 hours?
Ralph, I'm open to new information. ideas.
I forgot that about you. You're famous for that.
Right, thank you.
But you're open mind.
Right. Yeah. Real.
Sounds real to me. Anyway, the point is, you can call us right now on any topic and be part of the Kevin and Bean Show. It's What's Good at 1-800-520-1067. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's going on?
If you're
going
to call in for What's Good, you don't need to call in about Cow Appreciation Day at Chick-fil-A. We already covered that topic.
Did.
But still, not needed. Free chicken
still
sandwich
not needed.
If you show up at a Chick-fil-A right? restaurant dressed as a cow.
You dress up like a cow for a free chicken sandwich? Just step out into traffic. Just wait for the light to change and just walk out.
I felt like that was good information to share this morning.
You're done. By the way, if you go to Chick-fil-A dressed as Jesus, they'll give you a franchise.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's a little known codicil in their charter. Chick-fil-A charter. Lamar Odom's had a bad week.
Yeah.
First, he was booted out of the home he was living in because his soon-to-be ex-wife, Khloe Kardashian, was renting it for him, apparently. And I guess she's had an ass full of his shenanigans, and so she stopped paying rent. And so he was told to leave that home. Now he was staying with friends, last I heard. And now, reportedly today, he has been removed from a Delta Airlines flight after drinking too much and vomiting on the plane.
Oh, no.
According to sources. He was pounding alcohol in an LAX lounge before boarding the flight to New York. He was seen, according to TMZ, pounding down beers and whiskey. Upon taking his seat, Lamar Odom proceeded to vomit in the galley of the plane.
Oh.
That's where they make the meals, you know, for the plane.
Sure.
And then once again in one of the plane's restrooms. Then he came out of the restroom with vomit still in his sweatpants, you know, like you do. And he took his seat, only to get up minutes later to run back into the bathroom again. Sources say Odom was then reportedly gently escorted off the plane.
He's like a 250-pound guy, too. He's huge.
That's why he was gently escorted off the plane. I believe, if according to my sources, he was led off the plane with a trail of Reese's Pieces. They just put him out onto the jetway, and he followed them out.
That's a joke that could actually be real.
Followed them out. And no one had to really encounter him. They just, once he was out, quick, close the door! And then they took off and left him on the tarmac.
Guys, we all wish Lamar well, obviously. We hope that he beats his addiction. What does a guy like that do for the rest of his life?
I don't know.
If he doesn't kill himself, he'll live another 30, 40 years or something. What is he going to do with himself?
Drink.
He's kind of burned a lot of bridges. I don't see him getting much work.
You don't think he's going to go back into the
NBA? I don't think he's going to be in the NBA, if that's what you're saying.
No, I'm saying as a spokesperson, as an analyst, as a coach, as any number of other things that former professional athletes do, it seems like he's kind of slammed the doors on a possibility of any of those things happening. Like, what is he going to do?
I think he should coach the Lakers.
There you go.
I think get rid of Luke and put in Lamar.
That would They'd all be awesome. Smoking weed. That'd be great.
He'd be on the side calling a timeout. All over the refs. Come on, let's make basketball entertaining again, Southern California. No? Am I alone on that one?
Not that way. I don't think so.
Yeah. I think we're just wishing for the best for Mr. Odom.
All right. Javier Bardem. That's right, friendo. Looks like he is going to be starring in a brand new Universal Pictures monster movie. Universal is working on a series of movies about all their classic monsters, and they are lining up big-name talent to star in it. They've already got Tom Cruise starring in The Mummy, Russell Crowe as Dr. Jekyll in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, Johnny Depp will be the Invisible Man in the franchise. And now Javier Bardem apparently in talks with Universal to star as Dr. Victor Frankenstein in the classic Frankenstein motion picture. So, actually, they say that it's possible he could play the monster. There's no word yet on which role he will play. Mm-hmm. So I misspoke there. But interesting article, I believe it was in today's Hollywood Reporter, perhaps, or maybe The Wrap. I can't forget what website I saw it. But questioning the wisdom in Universal lining up these movies. And really, there's not a lot of clamoring for more monster movies with these this particular lineup of classic monsters. They have not done well.
They may be a little too old school for most moviegoers these days.
Right. So what Universal is doing wisely is taking 50-year-old men and putting them in these movies. You know, they're saying, why would you put older actors in these roles where older characters who haven't had much box office appeal lately are the focus? Wouldn't it be wiser, they say, to pick young stars and put them
in
sort of reboot,
update it some,
update that stuff, rather than leaning on older skewing actors? But I don't know, maybe there's a method to their madness. We'll have to wait.
Yeah, this is a big gamble. I'm with you, Ralph. No guarantee of success there.
The plan is, however, to make a universe where they'll cross over with each other and team up with each other and stuff. So they want to create sort of what Marvel has done with superheroes. They want to do it with these classic monsters. And there may be something there. We'll have to wait and see. Today's celebrity birthdays. Cheryl Ladd is 65 years old today. Why don't they get Lamar Odom to play Frankenstein's monster? Get away, it's Frankenstein. He's pounding beers in the Transylvanian pub. Steve Howe is 39 years old today. Brock Lesnar is 39 as well. Michelle Rodriguez is 38, as is actor Topher Grace. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We invite your calls right now on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. It's time for Kevin and Bean's What's Good? Hit It, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
Very special What's Good today, Kevin. Do you know why?
I don't know why. Is it 240th out of 312 days till Christmas?
No, it's not. Although we are in that sweet spot right between half Christmas and 7/12 Christmas. So thank you for bringing it up.
Right.
No, because all the callers today will win a four-pack of tickets to the OC Fair. It opens this Friday, going on through August 14th, Wednesday through Sundays. The OC Fair is awesome. You can go to OCFair.com for all the details.
Can we hold off on the prize until we're sure it's a good call?
Nope. Everybody gets tickets.
All right.
All of them get tickets. So that's what we'll do today just for you being on the line. And why don't we start with Brad? He's in Studio City, Line 3. It is a little bit of a holiday for some people today, and I think that's what Brad's calling about.
Hey, Brad.
What it do, nephew?
What's up?
Baby
boo. Well, what's good?
What's going on? Today is your Amazon Prime Day for all you Prime subscribers, all the consumers out there. And unlike last year where they were giving out things like USB cables and decorative gourds and all that sort of thing.
Hey, I'm in the market for a decorative gourd.
Have you been impressed? Allie and I were discussing this off air. I haven't seen anything that has been a truly exceptional deal.
I think the truly, truly ones go right away and they take them down. I saw a TV this morning that was a pretty good one for like half off.
Okay, now that's nice. For folks who don't know, Amazon Prime is a subscription service that you can have so that you get free shipping on most items and you get things a little cheaper and you get a little discounts throughout the year. And you also have access to Amazon's movies and TV shows. So a lot of people like to just pay that $80 a year or whatever it is. And one day a year, they have what they call Prime Day, where they have lots of things on sale. And if you want to get a blender or a mixer or an iPad or something like that, you can. But mostly it's like lunchboxes and DVDs. I'm not impressed this year by the selection that's being offered.
Yeah, they throw a lot of garbage in there. But if you're vigilant, I think you can pick up some diamonds.
All right. That's a good tip. Thank you, Brad,
from
for calling.
Decorative gourds to diamonds.
Let's go to line two. This is going to be Tim. He's in L.A. He's up next on What's Good.
Hey, Tim.
Hey there, guys.
Hey, what's going on? What's good?
I saw Rodney at my work.
I'm sorry?
I saw Rodney on the Rock at my work.
Rodney Bingenheimer.
Yeah.
What was your work?
I can't really say.
Okay.
It's right off Sunset and Gower.
Okay, it sounds to me like you work at a Denny's.
Not. I'm right across from the Denny's.
Okay, so prostate exams.
You work at KCLA.
Near there.
Okay.
It's interesting to see him. He looked kind of like one of those teens that watch too much anime.
Yeah.
He had like hair straight in the front, but spiky in the back with the leather jacket.
Yeah.
He went on like Pimp My Grandpa or something like that.
Yes. Rodney in person, you can't look. He's such a legend, and he's been working here at K-Rock for 40 years now, doing the Sunday Night Late Show. You can't believe he's real because he's somebody you grew up with and you've heard about your whole life, and then you see him in person, and it's a little bit shocking because he really hasn't changed. He might literally be wearing the same clothes that he wore in 1965.
I could totally imagine that.
Yeah,
because I'm awesome.
Because he's awesome, exactly.
I wasn't sure if he was doing the radio show anymore.
Oh, he is.
I told him, hey. I love your radio show. And after that, like, his expression dropped and he stared me down for the rest of my shift.
What?
Oh, dude.
Well, you told him you liked it.
That would be a compliment, I would think.
I think he might have known that, like, I heard about him from you guys and he was just like, oh, another person making fun of me.
Not at all.
Aww.
Not
Liars.
At all. How dare you? All right, Tim, great call. Hang on.
I knew his name.
Hang on for your fare tickets. Appreciate that. All right, let's go to Miranda, please. Riverside Line 4. She's calling about a video we were talking about last hour from a Polish breakfast show where a magician is attempting to do a trick where it ended up with a woman putting a spike basically through her hand. And we were trying to decide whether the thing was real or not. I'm starting to think it might be. Kevin, what are your thoughts?
Well, yesterday we were both 100% false.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm mostly real now.
And Allie, how about you?
I thought totally fake. But then when somebody said that the magician cursed immediately, I thought, oh, well, I don't think they can do that on the news there. So maybe that was just a genuine reaction. But I also think it's pretty fake.
I mean, it's a magician.
Let's see what Miranda says. She apparently is going to blow this Polish TV scandal wide open.
Miranda?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's good?
So, personally, I haven't seen the video, but just from hearing it on the radio, that scream is fake.
The scream is fake?
Yeah. Like, I'm a girl. I've gotten hurt a bunch. And even if it's not, like, intentionally being hurt, I don't scream, ow. Like, I scream bloody murder, you know? I'm not going to be like, ow, you know?
Okay,
interesting.
Let me play it again for people that didn't hear it, and then you can judge on whether it sounds genuine or not. She held the owl pretty long, though.
It sounds real to me. That scream is part of why I now think it's real. It really does sound like it hurts like a mother effer.
See, but I don't know. I feel like it's fake just because.
She actually says the word owl?
Yeah, like, who screams ow?
That's a good point.
Miranda, why have you been hurt so much?
I have a hazardous job.
Okay.
All right, who's intrigued? I'm intrigued.
Are you allowed to tell us?
I am. I work with horses.
Oh, no. Have you been kicked?
So I've been kicked, bit, twist, sat on, everything of the above.
Wow.
You're not bad at your job.
You're not very good at that, are you?
No, it happens. It's a hazard working with large animals.
Yeah, right. It is indeed.
You don't have to tell me.
Thank you very much, Miranda, for the call. Hang on for your fare tickets. And let's do one more, and I want it to be Corona Line 8. Let's get Andrew on the line. I think he's got a great idea. He's talking about a Kickstarter. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, guys. So you guys talked to Danny Trejo about Social Security. So I'm starting Kickstarter to raise the money to donate to his Indiegogo and get punched in the face by him.
Oh, I see. So in other words, you want his reward. You give a certain amount of money. You can be in a fight scene with Danny Trejo, but you don't have the money, so you're trying to raise the money so you can help him raise the money for his.
Exactly.
That's a genius idea.
That's a great idea. Our smartest caller ever.
I am going to start a Kickstarter today to help you raise money for Danny Trejo's Indiegogo. How about that?
That works. Perfect.
Fantastic. Thank you for calling. What's good? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
He hasn't even talked yet. I hate him.
I know. Same. When Mudge steps up to the mic, I automatically want to not turn it on.
Good things happen. I hear magic when he's
on
the mic.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
Well, let's see.
Thank you.
How about if I'm at the Hot Topic location in Orange this afternoon from 1 till 3, Muggs? Then what?
Well, then this week is your last chance to get the new K-Rock sticker and enter to win a 2016 Honda Civic and a private performance from 21 Pilots. We're going to be, like you said, being at the outlets at Orange, 20 City Boulevard West in Orange from 1 to 3. We're also giving away Blink-182 tickets, Young the Giant tickets, 21 Pilots tickets, Hot Topic gift cards, and a whole bunch of good stuff. So come down, will you?
Pretty good deal. Details at KRock.com. Ralph is here now. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Well, no one loves wordplay more than Kevin, right? He loves the wordplay.
I don't love it as much as
He loves puns.
I hate it.
And wordplay.
I'm not a fan.
So I wouldn't ordinarily report this story, but because I love Kevin, I'd like to give him what he needs, what he craves.
Not what I want, but what I need.
Right. And you need Sean Welby, who I love, Sean. She's lovely. And she's British, two of my favorite things. Right. She is the beautiful weathercaster for Britain's Channel 5. And she is known in the past for sneaking in wordplay, puns, pop culture references into her weather report. And this week it is no different. If you're a fan of Ghostbusters, you're going to love today's weather report. Listen for phrases like crossing the streams, Murray, Hemsworth, ghost, the rain is coming. Ramus coming.
Really?
It's going to be
really?
Stormy. The rain is coming.
Come on.
Ramus?
Yeah, that's...
Come on!
That's annoying.
It's awesome.
Get his weak stuff out of
here. It's not weak stuff. It's strong stuff. Sit back, relax, and listen to the weather report.
Hi, I'm Sean Welby. So I'm afraid you'll need your parka this afternoon with scattered showers expected in between the odd ray of sunshine. Clouds will stay puffed today, so in the heavy downpours of rain, don't cross the streams or rivers unless it's safe to do so, as there could be some local flooding on the roads. If there's something strange in your neighbourhood, who are you going to call? The Met Office. Now, as you'll be pleased to hear, a lot of the showers goes away tonight, but keep hold of your wig. The winds pick up in the west, and tomorrow morning you'll have to figure out whether or not to wear your wellies as you weave around those puddles like a pro. Tons of heavy showers may halt many of your outdoor plans, so you might want to do something indoors until this bad weather goes away. But don't worry, you'll be happy to know we've got a brighter start on Wednesday in the east, but the rain is coming later, so
Come
have an umbrella
on.
Handy, as you'll definitely get your hem's worth of rainfall in the afternoon. So, Leslie, what's going on Thursday? Now, the sun will bust through the cloud, so there's no need to be afraid, as it looks like summer finally answers the call.
Boom!
She lost me at Slime Afraid, the very first two words.
I was in from
that point
on. You
might want to wear your Parker. Ray Parker Jr. Uh-huh.
Yeah. A lot of puns there. A lot of wordplay.
Wordplay. To Weaver your way. Sigourney Weaver!
Don't worry, Kevin. You'll get it.
Yep.
You're going to eat your Hemsworth of rain tonight. Mm-hmm. You'll figure out something to do.
Wordplay.
Come on.
Kevin.
What? What do you want
she's
me to say?
She's
great. Admit she's great.
Would the video help because she's hot?
She's way hot.
Yeah, that would help.
That would probably
but
help.
But she's also right, yeah. awesome the way she just sneaks those in there.
She does it well enough, actually, that if you didn't listen for it or know, you probably wouldn't notice.
Right?
That's pretty well done.
The rain is coming.
Right.
Don't Murray.
Slime Afraid.
One more time. Let's listen to it one more time.
What? Oh, the whole thing?
Yeah, listen to the whole thing. Come on, let's pick them out.
Oh, God. Hi, I'm Sean Welby. Slime Afraid, you'll need your parka this afternoon with scattered showers expected in between the odd ray of sunshine.
Ray.
Stay puffed today, so stay in the heavy downpours of rain, don't cross the streams. Or rivers unless it's safe to do so, as there could be some local flooding on the roads. If there's something strange in your neighbourhood, who are you going to call? The Met Office. Now, as you'll be pleased to hear, a lot of the showers goes away tonight.
Ghost
but keep
away.
Hold of your wig. The winds pick up in the
wig.
West. And tomorrow morning, you'll have to figure out whether or not to wear your wellies as you weave around those puddles.
Weaver.
Pro. Tons of heavy
Protons.
Showers. May halt many of your outdoor plans, so you might want to do something indoors until this bad weather goes away.
Ghost away.
Don't worry. You'll be happy to know we've got a brighter start on Wednesday in the east, but the rain is coming later.
Ramus
so
coming.
Handy, as you'll definitely get your Hemsworth of rainfall in the afternoon. So, Leslie, what's going
Leslie.
On Thursday? Now, the sun will bust through the clouds.
Bust.
But there's no need to be afraid.
Afraid.
As it looks like summer finally answers the call.
Answer the call!
Answer the call! Answer the call!
One more time, Kevin.
Come on.
You'll really like it, I think,
Let's
the third time.
Let's do something
time.
Else. I'm not doing it again.
I'm not into puns.
Right? I'm with that guy.
You don't know, man.
Hi, I'm Sean Welby. Slime Afraid.
Sorry, I can't do it again. Slime Afraid.
There's trouble in paradise for Little
Laura.
And her boyfriend, Igor Tarabovsov.
He's the rich one that rescued her from poverty, right?
Rich one. Rich doesn't even begin to cover it.
He's the Russian, billionaire?
Stinking.
Stinking rich?
Stinking
just
rich.
Stinking?
He's both, probably. Depends on how much time he spends with Lindsay. There was a little bit of a brouhaha. There was a little bit of a kerfuffle.
What happened?
Well, you know how they like to party on his yacht off the coast of Greece. You know, you've been there.
Sure.
And she was not pleased with a text message she found on his phone. So, how do you handle that?
Push him off the boat?
Well, no, that's ridiculous,
Allie.
Sorry. You take his phone out of his hand, you grab it, and you throw it into the ocean.
Okay.
I mean, that's an option.
Now, he was not pleased with that. And so, what do you do when you're not happy with your fiance tossing your phone in the ocean?
Throw her in the ocean.
Well, no, it'd be ridiculous. You throw a drink in her face in front of her friends and family.
Oh.
And his mom.
Oh.
Oh.
Word is security on board the yacht had to separate the two. And then his mother encouraged her baby boy to end the relationship.
Not good.
Now, if you're questioning or not if this event actually happened, it did happen because reps for the couple say, yes, that happened, but, wait for it, my favorite publicist response in some time, they were just joking around.
Oh, that's great news.
Yeah, so it was all just, it was horseplay.
That's great news.
Yes. Can you imagine her on a daily basis?
No.
Right? It's not worth it.
Nope.
Not to mention your cocaine costs go through the roof
rich, so.
I know, but still.
Yeah.
You know. The bottom line's the bottom line. You got that kind of overhead. You got a staff of cocaine dealers following your yacht in a dinghy. It's a lot of work.
And then the pound collapses, so now everything's costing you more.
Right. First the pound, then your nose collapses. Lamar Odom's having a tough go of it. He got the boot from his luxurious home in Calabasas, California, because his estranged wife, Khloe Kardashian, was footing the bill. And apparently she no longer felt like spending the $25,000 per month in rent.
I'm impressed by her.
To keep him in that home.
Well, Harvey told us yesterday that when she found a crack pipe on the grounds, that's when she realized maybe her money was not being well spent.
Don't be so uptight.
It's not ideal.
So she's out. And now he went to get on a plane in LAX to go to New York. And he was escorted off the plane. Problem was he started at the lounge, the Delta Lounge, where witnesses say they saw him pounding down beers and whiskey. I mean, so far, so good.
Not for him, I don't think.
Then he got on the flight to New York and promptly vomited in the galley of the plane.
Wow.
And then in one of the plane's restrooms, and then came out, you know, with vomit still in his sweatpants, according to witnesses, and got a minute later to do it again. And at that point, he was gently escorted off the plane.
We should take calls from listeners who are airline stewardesses or stewards. That must just suck.
It's all the suck
of
working in a restaurant, except you're trapped with the people in a tube in the sky.
That's with no tips.
Can you imagine?
Everything that you have to put up with in a regular service industry job, but then you are in a small, confined space with them, and you can't leave.
And wearing pantyhose. It's the worst.
I'm not positive. Maybe missing the worst
that's
part.
The worst
of that.
Part.
I think it's up there.
I don't.
Ladies,
believe it
who's
is.
With me? And some men. Taking your calls now.
We're not.
No, we're not
now. But maybe tomorrow. We have room for a phone topic tomorrow, so we'll do that.
But
tomorrow.
I like the way the pantyhose keep everything kind of snug and pushed up against you.
Why are you holding your junk as you say that?
I'm saying that's the good thing about
he
the pantyhose.
Likes pantyhose.
That's the good feeling.
Ralph can rock the pantyhose.
Oh man.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Looks good.
Get right up against that.
Stop rubbing it.
Stop looking.
I can't.
That's what all the ladies say.
Why do some people tune out?
That's a good question.
Just saying, there's a tension that's created from the pantyhose that is comforting.
Right. I feel like we don't need to
on
see
many levels.
Any
I'm saying this panel right here, the panel. Right. I find the panel to be right. supportive, and yet it's like a hug. It's like a
Get
warm hug.
Get out of here.
Moz knows.
Now hiring both locations.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Cheryl Ladd is 65 years old today. She is the lovely and talented actress who played Chris Monroe. The answer, you're looking for Chris Monroe on Charlie's Angels.
Did she have any other significant roles in TV or movies?
How dare you be?
No, I'm serious. I don't
know. A wildly successful career as a star of many, many telemovies.
What else was she in besides Charlie's Angels that I
Look,
would have heard of?
Go. Here's the thing. Here's a little hint. I recommend this to people like Bean who have questions like this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little known website called, and it's just four letters. I, mm-hmm. M, uh-huh. then a D, followed by a B, and then dot, and then com. So IMDB.com. You can go there. You punch in your Cheryl Ladd, and you'll get a long list
I just thought
of work.
Like you might know, Ben.
Right, but he's saying he doesn't.
Okay. All right.
But I know she's done a ton of TV movies.
And she has. I'm looking right now. She has been working constantly.
You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch.
So nonstop working.
Right. So the other question you asked, there's your answer.
She was actually in the People vs. O.J. Simpson American Crime Story, as a matter of fact. Four episodes of that. She was on Ray Donovan last season.
She never works.
She's been on NCIS. She's been on Chuck.
Bean, I feel like you could have that question and find that answer and cut all of us out of the loop.
Okay. All right. I accept that.
Okay. Do you really accept it?
I do.
Will this sink it? Will this moment,
this teachable moment make any difference?
It's already gone.
Of course not. Look, I legitimately asked you because you're the king of IMDb.
But you didn't ask. You said,
I did.
Has she done anything since Charlie's Angels?
It seems like she never has worked a day in her life after that show went off the air.
You phrased it like there's no way she's done anything else.
No, leading question. Your Honor. Your Honor, objection.
I didn't know.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I was asking
Sit down.
What she'd done that I might have
Bailiff, take him away.
And I knew that you would know.
He's in contempt. He's in contempt.
Well, she spent 5 years on the TV show Las Vegas.
Yep, okay.
Steve Howie's 39 years old today. Brock Lesnar and his magic tattoo turns 39. It's the best tattoo ever.
It's large. It's very large.
It takes a man to tattoo a penis on his chest. That's all I'm saying.
He's having a pretty good birthday week, by the way.
Yeah.
Michelle Rodriguez is 38, and actor Topher Grace, also 38 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all went with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m.
Here Does anyone drive a Honda, really,
really
on the roads?
Only
is
everyone.
Anyone driving a Honda?
That's how Bean asks every question.
Right. It's all the presumptive, the presumptive answer.
It wasn't any of those things.
Mm.
I was just asking what she'd done that I might have heard of because I knew Ralph would know.
Yes.
No one's falling for your chicanery.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show. Allison Hannigan joins us in studio. We've got John Leguizamo.
Has she ever worked since American Pie? Has she ever been on television again?
John Leguizamo talking about the movie The Infiltrator and Natasha Leggero in studio along with your tickets. For Comic-Con, tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.